Okay. Is this working? I've already pushed it. Hello? This is not working.
Testing one, testing, testing.
Boo.
Testing none of it, hon.
Testing, testing. Testing. There you go.
Okay. All right. Welcome, everyone. See a big crowd here for July 5th. We had the question last month whether we were going to hold it today or whether we were choosing an alternate date. Everybody was excited to come up on July 5th, so I hope everybody got good view of fireworks, traveled safely. Certainly our thoughts are with many areas of the state battling fires right now, and that probably caused some travel inconveniences for several of you as well, but we appreciate you being here. We're getting started a little later than our normal time because of that, and we thank our board members for making the effort to be here as well.
Well, you're going to finish the same time, right?
Well, we'll see. That's up to you guys. I like to travel fast on this stuff. Let's see. Let's go to Candace real quick for these the briefing, financial review on the upcoming meeting dates and locations, financial review, and review of agenda items.
I welcome you all, too. I'm having a little bit of firework lag. It went on forever. It was lovely. Welcome. Upcoming meeting dates, as you know, are August 2nd. Nothing was changed there. And the next one will be in September 6th. The financial review, if you look on the financial review page, and unfortunately it's a little tinted up here, so you can't read it. Do any of you had tinted glasses? You can. So it was white when we started. Maybe we'll just turn it off for a minute. But it does show that we have plenty of money to loan in the bonus fund. If you funded everything as they were submitted, because anything less than 2.5% interest cannot go out of the mineral lease loans. Anything that you fund for 2.5% can come out of the bonus. The mineral lease has, if everything's funded as submitted, we have the revenue sufficient to put us in $17 million in the red. And that's without, there will be other money that needs to be taken out of that to accommodate the transportation fund, which created our throughput infrastructure fund, the trade of dollars for eligible costs. So keep that in mind. We have a few loans that have come in less than 2.5%. If those are made 2.5%, we can pull them out of the bonus fund. So we do have sufficient funding in the bonus fund. If we funded everything as submitted, you would still have $49 million to loan. So keep that in mind. If everybody came in for a loan, we would still have $49 million to loan at 2.5%.
Plenty of money. Plenty of money to loan.
We will be closing out the fiscal year, but right now your rainbow sheet is as of 2013 to 2017. So watch for the new numbers as we close out June. And thank you, Margaret and Debbie, for getting us those numbers, and we can accommodate the board to know loan and revenues for each county. Our first, I believe that's all. We'll introduce all the applications as they are to be discussed.
So let's move on to introductions real quick. We'll start over with you, Mr. Galecki. You need to push down on your little button to get the green light, too.
I'll push the button. Morning, everybody. My name's Greg Galecki. I represent the Water Quality Board.
Ron Winterton, Duchesne County Commissioner, representing Duchesne County.
Steve Farrell, representing the Board of Water Resources.
Good morning. Nagi Zanadi, representing UDOT Commission.
Chris Reed, Admin Assistant for CIB.
Allison Garner with the Attorney General's Office.
Johnson Hardy, Chair of the Board.
Good morning. Keith Heaton with the Community Development Office.
Good morning. Candace Powers with Housing and Community Development, CIB Fund Manager.
I'm Bruce Adams, San Juan County Commissioner. I represent the Southeastern Utah AOG.
Good morning. I'm Jack Lytle, Daggett County Commissioner, representing the Uinta Basin Association of Governments.
Good morning, Sevier County. I'm Tudor Ogden from Sevier County, representing the Six County Association of Governments.
Good morning, Dean Baker. I'm Naples City Mayor, and I represent Uinta County.
Gail Gardner with the Housing and Community Development Division.
Thank you, everyone, for your introductions. I'm sure we'll meet many of you as you come up and talk about the applications today. We will move on to item number 3, which is the approval of minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
A motion by Mr. Zanotti.
I'll second.
And a second from Commissioner Lytle. Further discussion of that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Those motions pass unanimously. We had a very fun, productive meeting in June down in Richfield. And we thank everybody that hosted us down there. Again, I know they got lots of thanks while we were down there, but it was really awesome to spend a few days down there and first rate everything. Let's go on to our new projects. Our first project for consideration is Roosevelt City, a 2018 master plan. We'd invite anybody with them to come up to the table this time. We'll turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this particular project.
Item number 1 on the agenda is Roosevelt City 2018 master plan. CIB requires 50% cash match on all planning awards, and they do have their 200,000 applicant cash. The master plan, as stated in their application, was last updated in 2010-2011. They're requiring updating of their master plans for several areas. It's culinary, water, sewer, transportation and traffic, secondary water, parks, trails, recreation, economic development, storm drain, and cemetery. They needed it to continue to provide Roosevelt City residents with a clear plan on the city's vision. How does this relate to the county resource management plan? If you'll recall, this board awarded each AOG some funding that would accommodate some of these things. So that would be a question that I would ask. Duchesne County was awarded $100,000 at that time to do resource management planning. This is a very large request. What is the timeline for accommodating that? And if you'll look in your board docs, or Brenda, would you bring up, they were asked some additional questions, which the board has been accommodated, and they've been forthright in answering those, but I turn it over to the chair and the board to continue with discussion on this application.
You want to introduce yourselves? Anything you want to add to that description?
My name is Ryan Snow. I'm the Roosevelt City Manager. I'm David Labrum, a city councilman.
I'm John Zillis, the Assistant City Manager for Roosevelt.
Yeah, and it's correct, as she's mentioned, we're looking for master planning. We did come back for a general master plan in 2010. That's the last time we've asked for planning funds from this board. After that, we had done individual plans for those other ones.
Can you talk more into the microphone? It just helps us record a little better.
Right.
Is it the green button? Yes.
All right, now it's green.
There we go. Thank you.
Does it help?
Yep.
Okay, so we are looking for master planning. This the last time we've come to this board to ask for help in that was in 2010. And we did our general plan with that, and then we've done additional plans after that. In the next 2 years after that, we did others. At this point, we're asking for help in all of our master plan documents. And so that's what we're looking for. So, but she has done a very good job in summarizing. And if there's questions, we'd be happy to answer whatever you have for us.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
Do you have a timeline for each one of these projects?
You would have a consistent. We'd start in the fall and continue to work through them as they went. Because of the amount of input and the public involvement, we expect they will take a substantial amount of time. But we expect to start in October, November is when we would expect to start through them, starting with the general plan first, followed by transportation, secondary economic development, cemetery. And we'd finish those, and then we'd start on the others starting in January. We'd proceed through the rest.
And so, is it possible to do these in phases rather than all in one lump sum?
It is possible. It is possible. And as we had, and we apologize, our board minutes, our council meeting minutes came in later. We did have our public hearing on the 3rd. And during that public hearing, we did discuss the potential for phasing. And we could do that. The phases we would present at that possibility is to start and phase it in half in two phases, one being the comprehensive transportation, secondary parks, economic and cemetery. That would be the first phase. And that would be, I could look at the price of that, but it's a roughly $112,000 in grant that we would look instead of $200,000. So we could do a phase if that was preference of the board.
And you were supposed to also give the staff the minutes of your public hearing on the July 3rd.
It has been submitted.
Is that one? Thank you. I did not realize that.
No, that's all right. It has been submitted.
I appreciate that. Thank you. But you were discussing with your public that you may have the different phases of this project.
It was discussed at that meeting, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yes, reading through some of your notes and things, it talks about doing some other investigation on some alternative funding sources. Have you been to, like, GOED or something to do some of these? You've got quite a project here going. Could you get some of that money from, like, trails and recreation for your master plan?
So with the trails and recreation, with UDOT, generally that comes out of the small urban, and they're not taking applications at this point, if I'm not mistaken. But at this point, we're not. The idea with the trails plan is for us as a city, the county did receive $250,000 for countywide, and for us to be able to attach into that, that is one of the reasons why we'd like to start with that one, is to be able to facilitate for a small amount, to be able to facilitate working with the county on theirs that they received, so that we'd need some to put in from the city to help coordinate into that. And that's why the trails is one we'd like to proceed with at some point as they proceed. So, anyway.
Yes, Keith.
Can you tell the board where the match is coming from?
We have budgeted out of different ones. So, you know, secondary water and the culinary water is budgeted out of the water revenue funds. And so each one of them kind of comes out of different funds. The general plan will match out of the general fund. So each one of them matches out of their respective spot. But there's no specific revenue on the whole plan with our general plan and those. So we have budgeted into subcategories to do that, but we are budgeting out of different, each into different revenue sources inside it.
Yes, Mr. Farrell.
What items are you going to address in your general master plan? Land use planning and
land use, affordable housing, and various general planning of the city. You know, we have a vision, mission statement, but you know, making sure that we have the 5 to 50 year vision of where the city goes. That's why we don't come back as often. We have utilized it. But at this point, after almost 9 years of having a plan, once we start into it, it'll have been almost 9 years. And we need to go back and make sure that we've updated. We've had significant annexation, significant expansion of areas. The city looks somewhat differently today as it did 9 years ago.
Do you expect a large change in your land use planning to cost $115,000?
We do need some fairly good detail on our planning, master planning that way for zoning, and that it hasn't been done in great detail since then, and there has been changes that need to happen. So we would expect there would be significant funds there, yes.
Mr. Galecki?
So I've got a number of questions. I guess, you know, as you mentioned, and I guess they revolve around a couple of things. First is that, as you stated, you know, from 2010 to 2012, you updated all your various plans.
That's correct.
So one way you're looking 6 years later, and you're looking at updating them all again. You know, if you have $200,000, $400,000 of planning, there's probably going to be a lot of projects involved, which, you know, can you even afford if you do, you know, nine plans like this is my concern. So I guess that goes back to, you know, it leads to my first question. When we speak about phasing things, so phase one would be your master plan. How long before you'd do the second, you know, the next phase?
Well, I think we'd follow it the next year following through. But, you know, the first phase with the comprehensive master plan and transportation, we're already working with LTAP, so we've gone to them to have them help us with the conditions and started preliminary work working with them. You know, cemetery, we expect to be out of the cemetery, full of the cemetery within the next few years. And at the pace we're going, we need to make sure that we have a plan and design so that as we proceed, we don't fill the cemetery and then try to find something. So some of those are more critical to update. And as I mentioned, that we could phase 1 year and then come back another year or two if that was the decision of the board.
Okay, you mentioned the cemetery plan, and that kind of leads into and I guess this is a naive question, but I mean, you know, for $20,000, what kind of planning goes into the cemetery?
Well, some of it becomes plat, we have property, so it's not acquiring property, but it's design, it's kind of organizing to make sure that it's best use of that and where it goes. So it goes into planning and platting and design of what the cemetery looks like, kind of organizing what that is and how that that plan would be implemented. Is it all built out at one time? Is that most efficient? Is it built out by streets so that we have a portion of it built at certain points? So there's a lot of planning that would go into that. But obviously it's not as significant as maybe a transportation plan that would be on a lot more of the roads.
Right.
So,
and I guess one last question is that, you know, when you look at $400,000 for planning, even at, you know, a senior consultant, let's say, you know, $150 an hour, that's 2,700 hours. That's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time.
You know,
and with theirs, I don't get to bill my time to it, and so I've got a lot of time devoted and committed to it as well. You're right.
Okay.
So if I could, Mr. Chairman.
Hold on, Commissioner Winterton.
Say, we already asked you if you could phase it. If you phased it, what would that look like? Half?
About half. So I think we'd be looking at 100. It was in our minutes, and I could look at that. But I think it's 110,000 instead of 200,000. So we would phase it back almost in half. So just about that.
Okay.
We may need you to switch with the microphone next to you too. I think that one was originally causing problems. So
we
we've got a spare there. Okay. Keith.
So, Ryan, I'm curious about the cost of these plans. They seem excessively high, even given the size and the growth that you have in your community. This board is typically funding, you know, general plans in the neighborhood of, you know, $40,000, maybe $50,000. This one seems to be about twice that much. Can you explain to the board why it's higher than what we normally see?
You know, I'm not sure that I can explain all of those. We have gone out. Originally, we had this one presented by CIVCO as the engineer, and we did use Jones and Mill as a check on that. I think there's some things that our last plan probably was lacking in, and as they've identified, they've indicated that we needed more with this one as we haven't had it in the past. Our last engineer worked for us for 40 years, so they were very active, independent. But at this point, you know, I can't describe all of those to be honest with you. But we have had, and I feel we've done our due diligence with going to two different firms to try to acquire, to see if we're in the right price range as we come to yet. That's what I can tell you.
One more question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
If you decided to have just one general plan for today, the most critical one, and to choose to stay with the limit that we have had in the past with the general plans updates, what would we be?
I think the first one we've got to start with would be the comprehensive master plan. Transportation would follow after that. If we only had one or two, that would be the next one. So.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I make a motion that we, you know, thinking about in phases, that we grant $112,000.
I'll second that.
For all, this is basically for the half that they had proposed. Okay, so there's a motion on the table from Mr. Galecki for a $112,000 grant. There's a second from Commissioner Lytle.
Question.
Comments? Yes, Commissioner Adams.
I'm just curious, Greg, what you're thinking is $112,000, their comprehensive general plan is $115,000. Is there a reason you're going $112,000?
No, I just had the number wrong. I thought it was, I had heard like $112,000.
So $112,000, the $115,000 is correct.
Yeah.
The $112,000 is the half. So the $115,000 is what the general would cost with our first phase.
Yeah.
We're saying at $112,000 grant, and we would put in the other $112,000.
So are you saying $112,000 is for all of the plans, or are you trying to address just the comprehensive master plan?
I'm trying to address the comprehensive master plan.
Okay. Do you want to amend that motion to a...
So we would like to ask for the 112 as the granite phase one, and then we would put in the same. That would be all right.
Okay.
And just, I was just asking Keith this particular question, so I think it's important to just put it out there as well. Kind of what are, I mean, we funded a lot of plans, but $112,000, even $112,000 is much larger than we have funded anybody else's planning budget. I mean, this is, there's a lot of things in here, but to getting back to the cost of doing these things in the community, that this seems to be on the high end, even at $112,000, that motion on the table. Further questions and comments to that motion? Seeing none, we'll call the question. All in favor of a $112,000 grant for Roosevelt City, say aye.
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 Okay, is there any opposed? Okay, that passes unanimously. That'll be put on the priority list for the October funding meeting. Okay, there we go.
Thank you.
Our second project, Duchesne City. This is very timely with the discussion. 2018 fire station addition and storage. Candace?
Duchesne City on the agenda today is requesting a $154,190 grant. There are no other funds coming to this project. from any other sources. It's for a 2018 fire station addition and storage. This will be a 60 by 25 steel bay onto the existing fire station. When they originally submitted this, it did have a small cargo trailer and hazmat supplies that did not meet the statutory requirements of CIB capital costs. So they have removed that. The city plans to build the 60 by 25 existing fire station to house that trailer and maybe a ladder truck in the future that they plan on purchasing to service buildings that they couldn't currently service. The steel building is a red iron building. It has an approximate cost of $113,000. This will be for the generator, the drains, the saw cut concrete, and contingency. So they're requesting $154,190 from this board.
Thank you. And we have our applicant here. Do you want to introduce yourself for the record?
Yes, I'm Rob DiRolli, the mayor of Duchesne City.
Great. Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks.
Anything else you want to add to Candace's description?
Pretty good. I've had, in the last couple of days, I've had a couple of donations or offers from contractors to donate the saw cutting and the drains at $7,500 as a donation. I don't know if we can use that as part of our in monies in, but I have had that in the last couple of days during the current situation in Duchesne County.
So great, yeah.
That might be something to think of.
Good. Let's go to the board for questions on this project.
I have just one question.
Yes.
Mayor, just an administration question. When people with the big project, three-story buildings coming before your council to get a permit.
Yes.
Do you require them to know that you don't have any ladder truck, that when the fire comes along, you're not going to be able to help them? And what is the response?
Well, four of the buildings in town have been the county and the school district, so we don't require. We let them do their own building inspections and their own, but that's still a concern to us also.
Yeah. The Motel 6 and the
jail, Motel 6, yes. Mm-hmm. We have had that conversation with them.
And we told them that if something happens, you're not going to be able to help them, so they need to get some kind of a fire situation handled.
Yes, and they have done that in their building as wet systems in the building and their insurance, obviously. But, yes. Thank you.
Mayor, do you charge an impact fee for a fire?
No, we do not.
Have you did a study on it?
We have not, to my knowledge. We have very little growth, especially we get two or three houses, and the commercial is the downturn in the economy has just not helped.
Commissioner Adams.
I guess I'm wondering, in the past, when Emory County had fires in Emory County, they came to the board with emergency funding to address problems that the fire caused. I wonder if the priority right now is this building, or will Duchesne be coming to the CIB with some higher priority request related to the fire that's going on right now that might... I don't know. I'm just, is this the best way to use the money considering the fire situation that's in Duchesne right now?
Maybe I could address a little bit. Duchesne City is the county's response team to a pretty good number of the county unincorporated along with the oil field, and so we rely on this and Roosevelt City to help defend the county in all of those call-outs. We're all volunteer, and as the needs come for more equipment, we've tried to help them assess that. And right now they're looking at future needs, and they do need a bay. You don't want the equipment sitting out they do have a need for a larger truck, and that will come, but that's a little bit pricier than what a building would be. And if you're going to get a new truck, you need to have some place to put it before you just, you know, move out a couple of trucks so the new one can sit inside. So I think this is a worthy project of it. It's just how do we meet the needs and which comes first.
Yeah, I'm not questioning the need or the worthiness of the project. I'm just questioning if the circumstances have changed, and you're gonna need some kind of emergency funding to deal with the fire that's going on right now. Maybe the forest or somebody's gonna pay all those costs, and you won't have to deal with them. But I'm just.
Well, on the present fire, you know, it is a state-owned fire right now. And, yeah, we're using some of the teams there in the basin for structure. And they will be compensated as they come back. But
by the state?
Yeah.
So you
well, state and federal.
By the fire.
You don't think Duchesne County or Duchesne City, any of these people fighting the fire, any of those expenses are going to fall back on them?
Generally, they don't. Right now, the way that works is that everything that we do is in kind to help the state meet their match. We do have a declaration out there, and the governor's put his declaration, so we will qualify for FEMA funding, but that's after the fact. And so the firefighters will get compensated for the time that they actually spend on there, but as far as the equipment, that's an in-kind donation that we get.
Just one note, I didn't note this in my, currently our fire station is 4 bays. We have 6 trucks stuck in 4 bays. So in order to go out on fire extrication, we need to pull 2 fire trucks out in order to get the one out that's sitting in the middle of the bay. So that's currently, you know, our situation of when we go on a fire, you know. So
you've been making do up to this point?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes, I'm a firefighter and have been out on these fires myself, responding. And the cities do get compensated back for their time and also for the trucks. One question I have for you. How many calls a year do you guys have out there?
How many
calls?
What?
Call outs? Do you have any idea?
I have not positive about numbers. I mean,
I would say that we're close to about 140 that they respond to out in the county. And again, that's oil field related accidents on Highway 40. Within the city, they probably have between a dozen to 24.
Yeah,
not that many within the city. I mean, this city is landlocked, so the growth is going to be minimal. What they're looking at is what the county imposes on them outside.
Okay. Is this considered being a fire district? Have you guys ever considered going to
a fire
district?
We do have a fire district, but
you guys aren't in that fire district.
and they help us with our training during that in that fire district with training and with equipment also, you know, on years past.
Our fire district exempts the cities. Yeah. They were not included in that. But we do, like he says, pay for all of the training and help them with the equipment. And then the cities themselves are responsible for everything.
Mayor?
One question that I kind of had, as I'm looking down here on your breakdown on your cost, you've got contingency of $13,290. Would you be willing to consider where it is contingency funding and grant and then that portion in a loan? So if you don't go over whatever in that flexibility you're trying to do, would you be willing to consider that?
Well, as you know, probably most of you know that we have the lawsuit with the tribe, and our funds, we've spent, you know, $600,000 plus, and we're very, very out of money, you know, but I'm not sure. That's why I say during the public hearing that we had, that was what we talked about, that if we had to have a loan, we would not be willing to do that or be able to do that at this point in time. So, You know, depends on what happens. We have some money from the a fund from the governor to kind of repay us for that. We haven't received that money yet, so we're not sure about those monies.
Mr. Glucky?
So part of this building this additional bay is for future growth when you get a truck. Is that correct,
well,
part of it?
Yeah, but we have trucks that will fit in this bay until that point comes.
Yes. Right. You, if you got storage, you always use it, that's for
yes.
sure. And part of, if I remember the narrative on it, is that you wanted this bay because of purchasing a hazmat trailer. Has that trailer been purchased?
No. In conversation with Commissioner Winterton, we talked a little bit about hazmat stuff, and the county has hazmat trailers and the stuff at the county fire station. But
and it's problematic because certain times you don't know if it's stocked and
yes.
all that kind of thing.
Well, and my concern when we put in for this was the fact of the speed in which I have to access hazmat. But
so
I've since rethought that, in you know, because where's my liability as a firefighter, you know? And actually, the trucks that I'm worried about on hazmat, they're the ones that are first responsible for their own equipment, you know, and their own hazmat material spilling.
How old is the current fire station?
When how old?
Built? Yes.
About 17, almost 20.
Yeah. So it seems a little bit like this is, you know, planning for the future, but I guess here's a couple things where I'm at. It's that, you know, when we look at the financial indicators, that financially it's you're strong. I didn't see a lot of, there's no skin, meaning you haven't put anything aside for this. And there was no, real discussion of whether, you know, a loan was possible. It was just more of coming in and, you know, getting this at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the trailer hasn't been purchased yet, it seems like you don't have a specific need yet, if I'm following the thing. Would the city be able to take, what I'm thinking is starting at, could the city take a 75% loan, $116,000 in loan, and 38,000 grant. Would that, I mean, that would, you know, get you started as far as, you know, planning for the future if you have to get this grown up, get this built.
Greg, can you repeat the terms that you just suggested?
Sure. 75% loan, 25% grant. That would be $116,000 in loan. The remainder would be in a grant at, 2.5%. At 20 years, 2.5%.
And I don't think that we would be willing to even consider that because of our current financial situation. But
is that a motion or just a question?
I have a question if it hasn't gotten to a motion just yet.
Okay. Commissioner Lytle.
And having been at the UBAG meeting, it didn't occur to me to ask then, but I'll ask now. Was there any consideration of going to the district for sharing in the cost of that, knowing that it would be used in both places, or more outside of the town, even with the oil field stuff, where I know a ladder truck can be very, very important? Are there any other ladder trucks in Duchesne County?
You have to realize that this fire district that we have is also based upon mineral lease revenue, which it is very limited right now. They're barely making their commitments.
Okay.
And they also pay for the payment on the Victory Pipeline, the heaviest portion of that. So to tap the mineral lease funds is not there.
Okay. It just hadn't occurred to me.
Would be a great option if everything was rosy and doing good.
Okay, thank you.
So is part of this then, because you hope to get a ladder truck in the future, so you don't,
No, I have four bays fire station with six trucks in it right now. I mean, I have to juggle every time I go on a fire run from trucks coming in and which one I need, you know.
What I hear in that conversation is that the add-on would allow for a ladder truck to be there, but it wouldn't preclude them from using it as they need it right now.
Yes.
It's just it would add that flexibility in the event they do or can get a ladder truck.
Well, if I'm going to come in a couple of years and ask for a ladder truck of $500,000, you know, I'm going to have somewhere. This is just preparation for us and take care, alleviate a problem that I have every time I go on a fire run if I need extrication or I need my truck that's parked in the middle of two bays.
Knowing that you might be in the same pinch if you get the ladder truck to have to reshuffle things back to small.
Yeah.
So I'm going back to the financial indicators that it shows that, you know, you have it's very strong as far as, you know, financially being able to afford, you know, a loan on things. But as far as the fire department is concerned, do you have a budget for either replacement? Like we talked about a fire, you know.
Yes.
Okay. So
I mean, I do set aside $7,000 a year for my part in this, but with my lawsuit that I have and all the money going out in it, I have no. I mean, I'd have it budgeted, but I'm using it on that item.
Mr. Zanotti.
One observation. Following up the Commissioner Adams' concern about that we give this kind of money right now, which is not an emergency, it's just extending a bay to store for the future need. Compare that if the Commissioner wanted to show up from his county and saying that I need emergency funding because I'm burning, the community is burning. As of this morning, I was with the conference call, the UDOT, fire has jumped over the I-40 and it's going to cause more of that damage. So in personal view, I'm coming from the county that I have six fires that are burning right now. I'm really aware of the situation. But your bay right now, it is not emergency, Mayor.
There's
a futuristic planning, which is admirable. I wish all the counties, all the cities will prepare for the future. But right now, this money, $154,000 grand, can be used in some place in Richfield, in Pine Valley, in Fruitland, some place that can be really needed today, actually yesterday. So I don't know. It's just kind of hard to justify the adding a bay to your fire station, which is a matter of inconvenience at this time. Pulling the truck out, pulling back in, or have a classroom in the back of the building for one of those bays. So if you don't mind waiting until next time, because if you're not going to take financing, which Mr. Kolek is offering you, then we need to wait with patience until we see if we can do something with the Fruitland, Richfield, Idaho borders, Pine Valley, West Valley, Minersville. I mean, these are the ones burning fires right now. They need a ladder, they need the manpower, they need equipment. So that is my humble opinion, Mr. Chairman.
That sounded like a motion, didn't it?
I'll second it.
Okay.
Put him on a pending list.
Pending list. Mayor, we're not dismissing
no,
you.
No,
come back.
I agree.
Please
totally
come back,
with
because
you.
If you get this bay tomorrow, somebody's going to, from your community, is going to, Mayor, I needed a ladder. You got my money.
Yes.
And you don't need it.
So the motion on the table from Mr. Zanotti is to place this project on the pending list.
Pending list, until he's ready to come back with the...
Okay, and the Councilman Farrell seconds that. Okay, further discussion of that motion? Yes, Commissioner Ogden.
I just want to mention, if you've got fire trucks out on these fires right now...
Yes.
See, our water tenders right now are bringing in $1,200 a day for the city of Richfield. Mm-hmm. So if you could pull some of that money back... and utilize that to help offset some of your costs, that would be one way that it would help this and make this look a little better for this situation.
But that's not immediate money, that's true. It will be coming. You probably won't see it till the end of the year if you're lucky.
Yeah. But with the idea of it being part of...
Yeah, I think that's a good proposal.
Yes, Commissioner Lytle?
I guess to concur with what they're saying, but with the question, with it being on the pending then, that could give you time to see what things could look like.
Sure.
And if there's enough change to be able to see an opportunity for a different funding package.
Yeah.
My understanding is right. We can bring this back any time if it's on the pending list, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's what. So you're not dismissed, Mayor. You come
what would
back
that say?
You come back any time. It is not dismissed. There's no timeline. You have to wait 2 years or 3 years.
Okay.
Anytime you feel that needed, you can come back.
Well, the urgency of other things, I agree. You know, this is not. I'm just trying to plan ahead.
Yes.
This has been something we've been wanting to do for several years. So it's not like you say. It's not an emergency in my book. So.
If you were asking for the ladder truck today, you would have a better chance to get in it. Let me put it that way.
Don't give him any ideas.
Okay, I hold my peace.
So with that knowledge, is there any other plans that are going to change on emergency?
Seeing no other questions or comments, we'll put that motion to a vote to place the item on the pending list. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, Mayor.
Next item on the agenda is Castledale City. Request for a $16,000 grant. Invite them to come up to the table this time. Turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this request.
Number three on the agenda is Castledale City. Their request is for a salt shed. The request funding is $16,000 in grant. Castledale City does have $275 in cash. They have local in kind, which includes an approximate cost of $3,500, and this is for the roof and walls, which were donated by Rocky Mountain Power after they dismantled the carbon power plant. The $1,600 would be, is my understanding, would be for the concrete footers and stem walls.
$16,000.
I
wish it was $1,600.
Yeah. The city crews will erect a donated shed. It will be behind the current city shop and Center Street north of Highway 29. They have great architectural drawings. If you notice, very good. The aerial view on page 5 of the drawings shows where this particular shed will be. And with that, I...
You want to introduce yourself for the record into the microphone, if you can. Anything you want to add?
I'm Danny Van Wagner. I'm the mayor of Castledale. I think your little outline is going to be moved. There's a gas line there. So if you see where those three... off to the right, the three shed type, right there is where that building will be. We're also going to do the excavation for the footings and the foundation walls. And then there's a few parts we're going to have to purchase to put it back. It was a good cover that we got. It was a great deal we got free, other than our labor to put it in, or take it apart and put it back up.
Great. Pretty straightforward project. Questions from the board? Mr. Galecki.
Okay. It's from our perspective, it's pretty small, $16,000.
Yes.
What I have a problem with is you're getting a free shed. You have a budget of $940,000, a general fund of over $550,000. And I struggle to think that you can't find $16,000 to put up a free shed.
Everybody's tightening their belts in these smaller cities. Our tax revenue is dropping. No, it's not that we can't do it. The help would be nice, without a doubt. We've had to let other projects go if we'll do that, smaller projects, but it is a small project. I understand that. But we've had our crew up, they tore it apart, took 3 days from our crew being up there. It'll take another 3 days. We've got time invested into it. We won't have material, so to speak. Just time and labor invested into it. You know, we did get it for free. We did tear it down.
Mayor, could you take this one as a loan?
No, sorry.
Small.
No.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the project. Second.
There's a motion from Commissioner Adams to approve $16,000 grant. Second from Treasurer Damption. Further discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Galecki opposes. All others in favor? That motion passes. It'll be placed on the priority list for the October funding meeting.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mayor. Hey, yeah, we want to invite project number 4, Orangeville City, to come up at this time. And we'll turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this particular project.
Item number 4 on today's agenda is from Orangeville City Corporation. It's for a city park softball field and restroom at City Park. Their request is $410,947. They do have $75,000 in cash to put towards the project. This project is a 45,142 square foot girls' youth softball field that will include the electrical and the topsoil and the grass and the sprinkling system.
Can you, what was the square footage on that again?
45,142, which was listed in their application.
Sorry.
They've got breakout here where they're going to do mobilization, and it will include a parking lot and electrical, the infield skin, hydro seating, sprinkler system, and the restroom and preparation itself is $110,000 listed on the application, which will be a precast concrete restroom. This also includes fence, backstop, and dugouts for $40,000. There's a $55,000 contingency, and there is listed professional services of $63,000. I believe that's for engineering. The public hearing minutes state that a loan would double the annual debt service payment of Orangeville City. So this is for the city softball field. Staff would probably recommend some loan component with this, but it is uncertain as to what a revenue source is, so the board should inquire.
Thank you, Candace. You want to introduce yourselves for the record?
I'm Mayor Roger Swanson, Orangeville City.
Harold Johansson with Johansson Title Engineering.
Great, thank you. Anything you want to add to the description on the project?
I think the description is pretty accurate, but I would like to add some preface to all of this, if possible.
Sure.
In 1992, I was elected to the Emory County Board of Education. At that time, the school district was involved with the Office of Civil Rights, and they're undergoing an investigation. OCR came in, and they were looking at equality among boys and girls in the school district. They went so far as to test materials in uniforms, and because a business had donated uniforms to one team, the school and that quality material was greater than what the school district had purchased for the other team, the school district had to buy equal material. They tested everything. They tested the number of sports, the number of activities, and then they gave us some decisions, and we had to do that. I don't know if you're aware, under OCR, typically under the justice system, you are innocent until you prove yourself, or you're guilty, you're innocent until you prove yourself, or they prove you guilty. Under OCR, you are guilty until you prove yourself innocent. It's just completely reversed from our normal justice system. And so, as a school district, we had to prove ourselves innocent. Well, I would like to propose that we move ahead with this in order to provide equality for our young men and our young women in our community. I'd like to propose it as a healthy lifestyle. We have about, the last date I had, about 50 young men playing baseball and about 30 young women playing softball. We have no softball facilities whatsoever, so I'd like to propose that we were able to do that. The other precursor to all of this is we recently completed a flood mitigation project. Seems like every year for the last 4 or 5 years we've been flooded in the monsoon season that's fast approaching. And so in conjunction with Cassadale City, Emory County, and NRCS, we provided some flood mitigation. have made it so that the Cottonwood Creek will not flood our city property any longer. And this property that we're proposing this to be put on is owned by the city currently. And so we just think it's the right time to move ahead with this.
Great. I think we are all for equality, and I'll probably bring up a message of equality, too, because we just barely funded baseball fields like a month ago in another community, and I want you to keep the equality piece in mind. We funded half grant, half loan on that particular project, so I think that you need to think about that a little bit from our board's perspective. But I do want to open it up to board members for questions and comments on this particular application.
I will even suggest, Mr. Chairman, to keep the cash and do the 485-947 half and half. Loan, 30 years, 2.5%.
Is that a motion or Jonathan? A question to the applicant? Commissioner Adams.
I just wonder if Allison wants to speak to the issue of OCR finding people guilty until they're proven innocent. Would the Attorney General's office like to help out with that issue? Any of these committees?
No comment.
Yeah, I don't think she's touching that one.
We have that same issue in San Juan often. Weekly.
Anyway, you want to put on the motion, Mr. Chairman? So keep the cash and divide the 485,947 by 2, 50-50. 50 grand, 50 loan, 2.5%. Okay.
Okay, so, yeah, I'm going to get out my calculator here.
Let's do the 286. And the remaining of it.
Well, that'd be 200. But
so 200,000 loan, 286.
No, hold on. It's a 480. $86,000 project.
Right. Divided by
243.
So a $243,000 loan, 2.5%, 30 years.
Yes.
And $243,000 grant is the motion on the table from Mr. Zanotti.
Second.
There's a second from Mr. Galecki.
Question.
Hold on. Treasurer Damshin first, and then we'll go over to Commissioner Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I note that in minutes of the city's meeting in June, it indicates that the city does not have the money to go for a loan. It would need to be strictly grant. So that's indicated in their minutes. The other question, I guess, is revenue source. Is it possible, this might be a dumb question, but is it possible to have a MBA structure when it's not a building per se, but it's something other than that is leased by the city? I'm not sure I can think of an example where we've had an MBA structure where it's been something like a softball field and restrooms. Does that work? You think it works? So the revenue source would be an issue, and then the city's own stated capacity to repay on a loan, it's indicated here that a loan's a no-go. So I could get the applicant to comment on that.
We're in debt now about $400,000, and a loan it would be extremely difficult to handle. The city council indicated, as you indicated in the last council meeting, that we do not want loans. But if that's all we could get, then I'd have to go back to the council and say, this is the proposal. How do you feel about it?
Mr. Adams.
I think when we funded the project in Carbon County, I think the school district and the city and all of the entities were together on the project. And the mayor is trying to take this project on by himself. And I like what David said about an MBA. Maybe the county could join in, or the school district could become part of the project, and there could be a some kind of a lease arrangement where the MBA might own the project, and the district puts in some of the money, the city puts in some of the money. I don't know if they have a county recreation that could be involved. I just I admire the mayor for trying to do what he thinks is the right thing, and especially when OCR comes and puts the hammer down on you. You tremble a little bit because they're not easy to talk to. But it just seems like the project. I know he thinks the timing's right. I know they have another fire in Emery County that they've got under control. I think maybe we might ought to put this on the pending list and let him go back, maybe see if the school district, the county recreation, whether an MBA would work. It'd give us time to see if Emery's coming in with any requests on emergencies for the fire. I know last time we funded some money for the Cottonwood Creek Bridge repair. We've done some things already for Emery County, but maybe just give you some time to massage the request a little bit and take back what the flavor of this board has kind of delivered to you as far as loan grant, and see if you can't get some help on it. This is a new mayor. He's trying to do the right thing. Sure. I applaud what he's trying to do. I want to try to help him, and I think others in Emery County need to help him.
As motion put on pending list. I'd second it.
Well,
I'm
so
we didn't have a second on it anyway.
Let me just clarify. There's two ways to go here. One, we can pass the motion. It puts it on the priority list on certain terms and conditions that you can go back and investigate. And we'll have this discussion again when we get to the October funding meeting. And at that time, could put on the pending list if there's still questions on it. Or, you have a kind of an approval you can go back with under that under those conditions, or if there is a substitute motion put on the pending list, that means there's nothing on the table in terms of terms and conditions. It's just out there, and you kind of know what we're doing. There's just kind of two directions to go with this. So, with that, I defer. Is that a substitute motion?
Well, I'd like to hear from the mayor a little bit what he thinks might be the easiest for him to go back and do.
Working in my day job with the Emery County School District Public Education, funds are tight. They really are tight, not only in Emery County but across the state. This facility is about 3 miles from the high school, so I don't know if they'd be able to access it. As it is planned now, it is smaller than the high school would require for their girls to participate. But we could go back and talk to them and see if they would be interested in becoming a part of this.
I know Carbon County School District was more than willing to join in that project over there. I don't want to put undue pressure on you. I'm just trying to think of some ways we can help you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you can take, Mayor, both options, one that we have given you and then one that, you can make it at NBA Corporation or something, that you can come back again, say that council rejected the loan grant, or we're going to go to the different route. You have the option.
So then I could have either option to go back to my city council and see what they would like to do.
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
If you want to pass the motion with a 50-50, we can do it. So at least you have something to take them, say that was the board decision. We can take it. If they say yes, you've already done that. You already got the money. Otherwise, you can simply say no, thank you. We're going to go a different route.
Or if you need more time, you can put it on the pending list in October.
So your choice, Mayor.
What's the motion on the
table? So the motion on the table is just the original motion, which is the 50-50 split grant loan at 2.5%, 30 years. That would be put on the priority list for the October 5th meeting.
With the understanding that if he can come back with a different option, we'd be willing to entertain it and discuss it.
Correct.
And they're keeping the cash.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nothing would be funded until October anyway.
Yeah.
So you're not losing anything by back and seeing if you can come up with a different plan.
Okay.
Is that, and that's been seconded, or?
Yes.
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 Okay. see no other further questions, we will call for a vote. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries unanimously. That's on the October, the priority list for the October funding meeting.
Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. Good luck to you.
Okay, item number 5, Grand County Service Area. Invite you to come up to the table this time. Turn the time over to Candace for the briefing on this project.
This project, number 5, is from Grand County Service Area, Castle Valley Fire Protection District. This is the Castle Valley Fire Department water source purchase. This is the same water source. This property, this Woolthorpe well is located on, has been accommodating their water historically, but the land is about to be sold, and it's going to be sold with the water and the water shares. So what they're proposing is for $135,000 in grant, there's no additional cost, they would be able to purchase this property, which includes the water shares, which has accommodated their water source in the fire district. The commission recently entered a joint agreement with the town and the cemetery district to drill a well on the cemetery lot. The water found there was not adequate, so this CIB grant is to keep access to a high-volume, close-proximity, year-round water source. And with that, I will turn the time back to you, Chairman.
All right. Do our applicants want to introduce themselves?
My name is Ron Drake. I'm the fire chief of the Castle Valley Fire Department.
Thank you. I'm Bob Russell, treasurer of Castle Valley Fire Department. And let me start by saying we appreciate all the assistance we've gotten from the staff, Gail, Candace,
and Brenda.
And we also had a lot of help from Michael Bryant down in Price. It was very useful in putting together this application. Candace is exactly right. The fire department, if I could just briefly say, is a small all-volunteer department located about 20 miles east of Moab on the Colorado River. The Colorado River is one boundary of our fire district, and the LaSalle Mountains is the other boundary. We have a lot of, we have the town of Castle Valley. We also have two large guest ranches on the river, Saw River and Red Cliffs Lodge. And we have a number of ranches in our district. We are supported by property taxes through Grand County, but we are not a part of the county. We are a separate district, fire protection district within Grand County. As Candace said, we have had the use of this well for a number of years, and we now have a critical need to continue to use this water source. I'm sure you've seen all of our publicity department's activities, which highlighted the need for urban fire protection these days. And with the fire department, water is an absolute necessity. We have no municipal water systems as such. And this well was owned by a resident, and it's in a lot, and the resident died, and it now has a new owner, and they have put the well on the market for $135,000, we have not been able to negotiate any kind of an easement to use the well. So our only option to get control of the well is to buy the property. The property is, we do have a contract with the seller that we can buy the property if we can get the funding. But if we're unable to do that, then it's going to go back on the market. And he, in fact, tells us that he has a buyer waiting in the wings who wants to buy it right now. And he would like to figure out how to get out of the contract that we have with him to be able to go ahead and sell it because he's got a better price, he says, from the new buyer. So we're kind of stuck with that situation. And we have asked for suspend and fund because we are paying his carrying cost as long as we carry this contract so that he will agree not to sell it to somebody else until we can get funding. When we first started talking about this situation, and this has come up several times already today, everybody we talked to, starting with Bruce, said you need to consider a loan. So we have been considering a loan. But if you look at our financial situation, you see that our tax income is in the neighborhood of $40,000 to $42,000 a year. And even though we carry a budget of about $70,000, the rest of that is made up of grants, donations, and service from loaning trucks to the other fire services. We have a lot of state and forest lands in our district, and you'll see a letter in there from Jason Johnson, who is our representative from the state and fire and state lands. Who says that he looks at us as kind of a first responder for the public lands around us because we can get there faster and start hitting the fire sooner. So the problem we have with the funding with a loan is if we're only getting a guaranteed amount of about $41,000 a year and we pull out a loan repayment from that's it's got to come from our other sources like grants and donations and monies from the community. And Candace told me not to talk too long, but I have to tell you that yesterday we had our first 4th of July festivity with pancake cook, kids, bicycle, 4th of July decorations, and fire truck parade, and the whole smear. And we got donations of around $1,000 from the community. And this is the kind of thing that we use to supplement that $41,000 we have. And we think that it would be irresponsible of us to commit the money needed to cover a loan. Because it just would not be fair to our taxpayers. Because we might do it this year, we might do it next year, we might not. But looking years down the road, we don't see that we can just commit ourselves to do it every year. So with that, what questions do you have?
Let's go to the board for questions. Commissioner Winterton.
First of all, you are a taxing district, right?
That's correct.
Do you go out into the county and help them?
We do, and maybe I'll let the chief answer that. He probably has a better handle on it than I do.
When you go, usually.
Can you talk into the microphone? Sorry.
Usually, if we leave our district and we are going on to a state land or a federal land, it's usually not to county land, but there are some private county lands around there.
So you're compensated for that?
We're compensated for the state and federal lands that we go to.
Have you had any discussion with the county council to see if they would help participate in this? I mean, if you're helping protect their lands, where are they at with this discussion?
We haven't approached them at all. They have the county doesn't have a fire department. They're the Moab Fire District, and they have Lip Castle Valley, and we have a fire district in Thompson. the county, we don't have an agreement. We don't have an agreement with the county to be reimbursed. No, we just.
We are a fire district that is designated by the county, so the county looks to us to provide protection for that district.
And so that,
and it extends much beyond the town of Castle Valley.
Where you're providing the fire protection for those ranches and that there.
That's right. It's
they're the ones that are paying for this. And
it's about a 20-mile, square-mile area.
Question.
31 square miles.
I understand that. And they probably want this service and should be the ones that help you pay this back.
Well, these people are taxed, and the way the county looks at it, they're paying for it with their taxes.
They are, but probably not enough if you're going to acquire an asset for the years to come. I mean, fire suppression comes at a cost.
Right.
And I want to help you out, but I feel like that you have no skin in the game. And personally, I think that you could be able to put this on a loan over years, which, again, if that means raising taxes 2 or 3 cents for that, you could accomplish that. And if we went 30 years, you could $6,200 annually would get you what you want there. And going forward, they would have to understand that they have to pay for their fire suppression, and not just, you know, it's tough. I mean, you guys are in a tough spot up there.
Well, the problem that I have and we have with what you're suggesting is that it takes time, and we are under the gun to get the move on securing this water. And we tried other things, like Candace mentioned. We tried drilling an additional well with the county and didn't get enough water.
I understand that. And what we're offering, if we gave you a loan today and suspended it, you could have your money and go home, but you'd owe us $6,200 annually for the next 30 years. I would make that in a motion. I mean, just cut and dry. I mean, that's what I think I'm willing to do.
We've been through that whole discussion, and we just can't do it without being irresponsible to our taxpayers, because we'd have to be betting on the possibility of getting some money through a tax increase or through the county or from some other source. And if we had to do that, we would just try to get control of this water through some other route, maybe local donations or something like that.
Well, through that taxing, aren't you putting money away for future fire trucks and replacement costs?
We are. And part of that is due to the CIB has been very generous with us. We've had 3 grants over the period of the last 10 years or so. And one of those was for a new fire truck, and we were told at the time that you need to start setting money aside to replace this fire truck, which we have been doing, and we do have. We don't have enough money to pay for this well, but we have been setting it aside. However, our guaranteed income is so low that it's hard for us to know that we're going to absolutely be able to do it, and we're just not willing to commit to the taxpayers that we're going to do this without being sure that we have the sources.
All right, we've got several others with questions, so we'll go to Commissioner Lytle, Commissioner Adams, and then Mr. Galecki.
How many people do you have in your fire department?
I've got about 3 or 4. Quick.
We have 18 members on our roster.
How many are red carded?
Right now, we have 8 red carded.
Okay. How many fires do you guys get called out on, either within your local area or even outside?
Last year we had about a dozen calls in our own district and outside the district.
Had one this week within that.
And right now it's this water source would be the water source for your more or less filling your truck.
Yes, it's a block away. A block away from our fire station, and it's right on the road. It's very convenient. It's been a very, very good source of water for us.
And we do have another source that about 5 miles away, but it's available only during the summer. It's through a pipe that goes down to the Daystar Academy. And it is a source, so put us a long way away. It's only part of the year.
Thank you.
Mr. Adams.
This is a difficult one because this past week we had two small fires start in LaSalle in San Juan County. Local fire department, one of them was about a 10-acre fire that the fire department responded to with loaders and fire equipment and were able to get it under control. Just yesterday we had one at LaSalle Junction. The LaSalle Fire Department responded to that, got it under control before it just exploded like the one in Duchesne, which makes me grateful that we have these small local fire departments with volunteers that can help. And certainly we're in about as dry conditions in our end of the state as, well, it's the driest it's ever been. We've got ranchers that are in their 90s that tell us that they've never seen it this dry. I'm also very mindful of water and the difficulty to get water in the desert. This is a known water source. There's no guessing. I'm mindful, and I want to caution these two gentlemen that this board is funded from mineral lease money that comes off of federal property, which means we have to have drilling of wells. We have to explore for minerals in order to build this fund so that we can have money. I know that there are people in your community that oppose those kind of things. I'm not going to judge either one of you by that standard, but I hope that people in Castle Valley understand when they come to CIB that they're asking for money that's generated off of the drilling of those wells. I also want to tell you that we as a board have stayed at Red Cliffs Lodge many times. I don't suppose to know how much money Red Cliffs Lodge makes or Sorrel Ranch. But if you're going to provide protection for those two resort communities, they ought to be helping you. Because
taxes.
Huh?
They're on our tax. We have taxes.
Yeah, but it's not enough.
Okay. And you raise about $40,000 in taxes, right?
Total, yeah.
Yeah. They ought to be helping you. more than that,
yeah,
in my opinion. But that's all stuff that can go to the for the future. I think we would really be making a mistake if we don't help them get this water. I think it's critical. I think it's wise on the part of anybody that buys known water or water rights for whatever purpose. I'd like to make them take a loan, Ron. I really would. They can't do it. I'm just telling you, they can't do it. They're operating on a shoestring budget right now, and they, you know, hope you guys remember this speech down the road. They really need the help, and water in that end of the state is not easy to find. I'd just encourage the board to fund this request.
Mr. Galecki.
So has there been an appraisal of the property?
Has there been an appraisal of the property?
Yes,
no, there has not. And we got the question. And,
it's on here.
It was listed at $149,000 initially and lowered the price to $145,000, and he granted us $135,000 as a favor, but he said he was not sure exactly what he was going to get.
Is that so? It is appraised at 145 or something? Is that what she said, Peter?
That's what this letter. There's okay. A letter in our packet.
Okay.
What's the production? How much does it produce?
Yeah.
I don't know that we know exactly. Do we know exactly how much?
It produces at least 125 gallons.
Oh, man.
Is it?
And it's good quality. We've been using it for years and had no problems.
So is it the only water source on the property?
Yes, it is.
So is it the culinary source or is it the agricultural source? Because it's 4 acres.
It was originally the property owner owned the two lots. He owned the lot on the corner that we're after, and he owned the next one over. And so each property has its own well, and the well that he dug on that property there was for agriculture.
So this is an agricultural well. It's not culinary. It's an agricultural well.
Well, it could be either.
Okay. I guess where I'm going is you know, affordability in that. I'm a couple of things. In a city, living in a small town whose one of the wells just went down, you know, having a functioning well is critical. The well itself is probably worth $135,000 if you're going to re-drill one. I agree with Bruce is in that water, you know, it's priceless, so to speak.
Make sure you get that in the minutes. He agrees with me. First time since I've been on the board.
However, have you seen, have you entertained, you know, 4 acres around there, have you looked at securing the ground, securing the ground in the well, and then just selling the land? I mean...
We've tried that.
Because you already have the buyer, right?
Want to do it.
Well, who doesn't want to do it?
The seller. The seller won't agree.
Right.
The only
right.
way he'll agree to, for us to get
right.
water
I,
is to buy
I guess
water.
Where I'm at is a little bit with Ron in that the well itself's worth $135,000 or whatever it is. I truly believe that if you took a loan, you're going to recoup that money. I heard your discussion about you felt it was irresponsible with money you're coming in, but I kind of think there's, if you really put it together, you'd be able to, you know, pay for it, I guess.
Let's go to, we have two more question or comment. So, Councilman Farrell.
My question is, following on what Greg's saying, could you resell the 4 acres of ground?
Yeah,
sure. Maybe.
And recruit part of your investment.
And if we don't get funds, we think that our only option to get it now is to get funding by the board, CIB. If we don't get that funding, we would probably go to the community and ask for donations on the basis that we'd hope to sell and maybe get the money back. And I don't know what we would do, but we need whatever it is, we need to do it right away. And as Bruce so well put it, control of this water is really it's our number one problem.
Do you have any idea how many acre feet in that well? Is it, if it's a culinary well, it's probably only a 0.25 diversion?
Well, we have 20 acre feet available on as far as our permit to draw water. Exactly how much water is there, I don't think we don't know exactly how much water.
So you got the right to 20 acre feet of water?
Yeah, right.
The district does or the property owner does?
Well, the district does, but it also passes on to the town.
So you're not really buying any water rights with this well?
The water rights go with
So the water right is for 20 acre feet?
That is what it is today.
It's a lot of water.
The district owns the 20 acre feet of water rights.
The town.
That's a property owner owns it.
Right.
He has control of 20 acre feet, and it transfers over with the sale.
What are you paying for the water right now to the property owner?
We're not paying anything.
You're getting that free via an agreement.
It's been gratis.
Okay.
Over the years through the previous property owner.
Mr. Zanotti, you have questions?
Well, being in a real estate broker, I recognize the value of the property when you have a water in it. I mean, $135,000 is a peanut.
Yep.
And Bruce knows that, and Greg knows that, and Steve knows that. It's just a matter of that. The suggestion is great. If you think that you can sell that four-acre lot after you're purchasing it, that will pay off your investment already. You keep the water. That's the whole purpose of purchasing this four lots, because the water comes with it, and he doesn't want to separate them, right?
Right.
So you buy the whole...
He just wants to get rid of it.
Right. You buy the property with the 20-acre feet of water, sell 4 acre, which people love to have that. They can subdivide it if subdivided with land. You get your money. So the financing is a great option at this point, in this juncture, unless you want to approach the owner or the seller saying that, would you like to carry the contract? I hate to take away the business from the seller by this point, but if you want to approach him, put the land in the contract and he's assured that he has a buyer, then immediately put that 4 acres and sell it and pay him back.
Well, the problem is he tells us he has another buyer that he would like us to forget about it and let him sell it to someone else, basically.
So you already have a buyer lined up?
So we don't have, I don't know.
Maybe.
The thing is we don't, yeah, that's the problem, is a maybe. We don't know.
I'll just throw this piece of information in here. I mean, it's possible to do, but closing a loan does take some time to close a bond on it. And we are a little bit in a time crunch. I think it's doable, but it would take, you know, very concentrated effort and no hiccups to
close
it by then.
Okay, then motion to approve as is stated.
Well, I mean, I just wanted to throw that out there. But okay, we have a motion on the table.
Well, we have already beaten this horse.
Well, one thing, and I'll second the motion, but one thing I might say, they have two loans out, one for 183 or 163 and 150, 30-year loans. Maybe you sell the property and pay those off early.
That's right.
And the CIB gets
money back.
We'll
okay.
Get a press release.
Money. I don't know. We're not going to make that condition of the loan, but that might be. You guys seem like you're trying to do the right thing and make good decisions, but I second the
okay. The motion on the table is to grant $135,000 to spend and fund. That's what's requested.
That is correct. That is correct.
And that's made by Mr. Zanotti and seconded by Commissioner Adams. Further discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Mr. Galecki, Mr. Winterton, and Commissioner Ogden. That motion passes.
Adjust the minutes. Greg doesn't agree with me anymore.
He sort of agreed with you. Okay, staff will be in contact with you on that one. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's suspended funds. Yep.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Greg, they do have a recording of this, so I'll only play the part where you said you agree with it.
I agree with you all the time.
So item number 6 has been asked to be held to the September agenda. That's the Monticello Cemetery Special Service District. So we'll push that to September. Okay, and Henryville is waiting. Number 7 is waiting until August. So we are on number 8.
Good job.
Town of Holden. We'll invite them up.
What happened to Scipio?
Yeah.
Scipio.
On hold.
Scipio is number 9, right?
No.
Did you switch the agenda on me? Yeah, we'll get to Scipio here. They're next. They're on deck. So we've got Holden in front of us, Candace.
What happened to Henryville?
On hold until August.
Henryville's on hold till August.
So 7 was Scipio. Is it on?
It's 9.
They changed the agenda.
Who changed the agenda? I'm looking at my agenda. I have... I have Holden at 8 and Scipio at 9.
So. What's on second?
Monticello Cemetery.
Chair's prerogative. I'm going to make sure Holden is in the chair right now. Turn the time over to Candace for the briefing on this project. We will get to Scipio.
Scipio is number 9. Town of Holden is number 8 on the agenda. As listed, it's a 2019 road improvement project. The request is for $311,000 in grant. There is no other cash. This will include mobilization, chip seal, single chip seal, double chip seal, pothole repair, construction contingency, and the construction total is $263,000. The engineering and such is about $37,000 in this project, so project total is $300,000 with all those added up. So we have the $311,000 grant request. There really wasn't much of a prescription or description, but there were maps that shows pretty much the whole town, the Holden town. Some were chip sealed double and some were single chip seal, which is a different cost. But in the public hearing, they did discuss that the chip seal was for 6 miles of road. Nicely done. Mm-hmm. So with that, it is a paved road. It will require maintenance, and I will turn the time over.
Okay, we've got a contingency of gentlemen here to talk about this. You want to introduce yourselves for the record?
Sure, I'm Ryan Savage with Savage Albrecht Engineering.
Brian Stevenson, Holden Council member.
Rod Dastrup, maintenance supervisor.
Great. Anything you want to add to project description?
Yeah, this little project, Holden Town has been doing small projects. They just completed a crack seal project this spring. It's just like any other little town in southern Utah. They have tried to keep up, but at this point, the roads are starting to fall apart, and we need to get on top of it in order to keep the roads from completely going away.
It's been over 20 years since we had a crack seal done on our roads, and we just, you know, like Ryan said, we don't want to lose our roads completely. We're seeing a lot of damage on the sides of the roads, small cracks, and you can only do so much with the crack seal repair job. You know, that helps a lot. We've done the best we can with that to keep our roads up. So, anyway, yeah, we would like to do this before our roads deteriorate further and the cost increases more in the future.
Hey, let's go to the board for questions on this. Yes, Commissioner Winterton.
Okay. First question is, what do you receive annually on your BNC road funds?
It's around $30,000.
And you got O&M out of that or replacement costs coming out of that?
I'm not sure I understand the question. What?
Well, what do you do?
We don't have any loans coming out of that. It goes towards maintenance. Okay. And an upkeep of our equipment. One other point. Our equipment that we use to maintain our roads, our snow plow and our backhoe and stuff, it's getting old. It's all 40 years old or more, and, you know, we're going to have to, at some point, replace that as well. Trying to maintain the streets, our street mower is about shot as well. So pretty much all of our BNC road money goes towards maintenance and these crack seal projects that we've been doing.
So you do have money, if we helped you with this, that you can continue to maintain it, or would it be better to help you maintain this right now with a grant loan mixture?
Well, I think we can maintain the roads with what we have. We just don't have enough to do both. To if we are financing a loan, you know, then we would be real short on maintaining our roads in the future.
One other thing about this application that bothers me is that this is for next spring. How are we going to guarantee that the costs don't go up when they actually show up next year?
I've actually got 10% contingency in there, but you're right. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what the will's going to do, just like anybody else. But weather-wise, if we're funded in October, we don't have weather until spring. So there was no way we could do that this year because we just didn't get it in time to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's a next year project.
So, in other words, it's not a high priority this year because we're late in the season.
If we do it this year, great, but unless we suspend and fund, there's no way to do that this year, just weather-wise.
Well, I don't need to bring this up to the board, but we all know that we're starting out at zero here, and we're granting money that we have not received, and that's what I'm hesitant to do, is we keep granting money. We're not going to have money come October to even decide that. So those were my questions, is the overruns and how much that you could afford out of BNC funds if we could help you with a combination of loan grant. Can you handle?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I would have to go back to the council and see what they want us to do. We just, like every other community here, you know, we're short of funds. We just don't have a tax base. We have one business in town, and that's it. We could probably kick in a little bit for the initial project, but it wouldn't be a large amount. But as far as a loan, I just don't think we can do it.
Yeah, it just doesn't show any in kind, doesn't show anything, any cash coming in, and that's just kind of hard. I feel like we're enabling you to continue to be in debt on your O&M even by doing this, unless you have a contingency plan that you can continue to maintain them once we bring them up to snuff.
What we've done with the other small communities, and I've been here for a lot of them, you guys have seen me a lot, but every one of them we've put in place a maintenance plan, a rotational maintenance plan, and they haven't been back.
Yeah.
So if we can get on top of it and get them doing the rotational plan, I think we can stay on top of it.
Mr. Adams?
I don't know if it was last year or the year before, because they all kind of blend together at my age. The state gave an opportunity for communities to pass a sales tax to create some road money. Do you have access to any kind of sales tax money for roads in your community?
They don't have any business.
I'm not sure about that. I remember them talking about it. I think some of that is available.
Do you?
It's not a large amount, but
sure.
I think there is some coming in on that.
You don't have a Walmart in Holden?
Not yet.
Not yet. They're coming.
I've never been to Holden.
It is just blink. You just
I've been
blink.
Through it. I just didn't know it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you go to St. George, you go right past. That.
Okay.
So it's about halfway between.
Yeah. You know, the sales tax has helped a little bit to get some projects done, and I'm not. Yeah, I'm sure you don't know how much or what.
I don't have a figure on
sure.
that.
Sure. Mr. Ogden?
I know this is a concern, Ron. These little towns, they just don't have any revenue. And not that. You know, the only thing they have, I think, is a water meter hookup. And Holden's one of the towns that did have a little service station there at the one end at one time, and that's about all I've ever had. And in fact, it's closed now.
It is closed.
And so I guess I look at this as they haven't been here for a long time. It's been 20 years. Yeah, they've been trying to maintain it, keep it up. and I realize the situation we're in. But if we could get these people to get on a maintenance schedule and continue to do what they're doing, that's about the only way these little towns can survive. So I don't know. And I realize it's a grant, but how are these people supposed to get the money for these projects when they don't have any revenue source? They don't even, you know. So that's kind of my spiel.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
I second the motion.
It's a motion to approve a $311,000 grant made by Commissioner Ogden, seconded by Mr. Zanotti. I think it's a, before we go to other comments and questions, I think it's a good item for discussion. We've had a lot of this discussion about rural Utah in general. Roads in particular are very, they've come up a lot over the last few years. We've done a lot of chip seal projects and, for just a community to maintain itself. And you raise a good question, you know, where's the revenue source to help maintain it? I mean, a lot of these communities are in zero growth mode. So, you know, the idea that, you know, we'll do it now and it'll be fine forever is not realistic. But it's not really realistic to expect a good revenue source to come down the line and be able to take care of things perpetually either. And I think that brings up a big question. I know we've got this is a pitch for our zero growth studies and documents, because I think those are very relevant in rural communities, and especially when it comes to issues like this. But
just point to the council here that in the past we've had the county do the road chip seals in these small towns, and that's helped out because that's lowered the cost by having the county do that for us. But because of the circumstances that have come forth now, that doesn't allow the county to do that anymore. And that's why we've had to go to, a contractor to do this.
Right.
And that's why, you know, with the cost and everything like that, you see, because our maintenance in the past has been done by the county. That's helped out in that sense. But because that's been eliminated, you know, agree with, we need to be on a maintenance program that will help us maintain it so that way they stay up to par to keeping them up.
All right, thank you. We got any further discussion on the motion?
Well,
we have a motion on the table. Commissioner Adams?
Greg, you want to go first?
No, you go ahead.
Okay.
He wants to see if he agrees with you or not.
I'm waiting to agree.
Okay, Greg. Here we go. So I look at the application sheet, and in 2009 there was a town hall community center loan grant. Was that in Holden, or was it in another part?
That was Holden.
That was in Holden.
Right.
Okay. And in 2018 there was a fire storage building grant.
Yeah, the fire chief that came in last year.
It's your fault then, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Just trying to think a little bit outside the box here. Is this project, you say you probably won't be able to do it until next summer, right?
At the earliest, it would be next spring.
So should we put this on the pending list and consider it in December or January, and we'll pray for oil or something like that, rather than fund it out of this funding cycle? I mean, I don't know. I'm just.
Is that a substitute motion?
Sure. Greg will have one anyway. So.
And they agree. Okay.
Commissioner Adams, I'm thinking of your prior speech. If we could get Grand County to pray for oil, that just might move the needle.
There you go. Put that a requirement on that last application.
So the substitute motion on the table made by Commissioner Adams is to place the project on the pending list, and that was seconded by Mr. Galecki.
A comment to that, and that's...
Yes, evaluating, just evaluation of funding and availability. And the project isn't really going to start until next spring anyway, so... Discussion of that motion, Commissioner Lytle.
Not to try and make it another substitute motion, but
to hear your thoughts. What about breaking it into parts? Even in the event that if there's no opportunity for loan in it, what about breaking it in over a period of time?
What we found on these small projects like that, you're going to have another $15,000 to $20,000 in mobilization on each one of those projects. So instead of 311, you'll be looking at
cost goes
375.
Well, I'm wondering about even if it's a matter of buying the materials, and then if something changes, are you expecting the contractors to be able to put it down at a less expensive rate than if you were paying the county to do it?
The county can't. They can't do it anymore.
Oh.
That's the thing. I would just.
It wasn't a matter of choice. It wasn't a matter of choice of who's costing us more to put it down. It's not available at all.
The state raised the cap on.
Yeah.
Or they lowered it. So
they changed it to a different.
I can't remember.
So thank you for the question, as it doesn't change this.
Mayor Baker.
Well, that was my concern. Was I didn't, I guess, understand. I thought, is there a way we could get them to lump in with the county when they do bigger projects and get a better cost? But I'm not understanding. No.
That is a possibility. A lot of counties do that, special service districts and that, put the projects together to get a better bid. But now I remember the state has a cap, $160,000. Anything over that has to be bid out through procurement. So they were trying to eliminate the counties doing this kind of work because some of the contractors were complaining that they were doing all the work.
Exactly.
And that was about 4 years ago.
Mr. Glucky?
Yeah. You've probably heard this before, Bruce. But kind of going along with Jack's comment, what the board's probably heard before is, I live in a small rural town. I live on a gravel road. I would love if it would be paved, but you know, I personally can't do it, and so you know, I'd be paying for it all. So I guess another thing to entertain is, there are areas you'd consider, you know, as you're looking at things, because we're on a pending list of areas maybe reverting back to gravel.
No.
It'd be harder to maintain, and the thing is, I grew up in that small town, and at one point, a lot of them roads were gravel, and since then, they've been able to procure the money or whatever to get them oiled and everything like that. And it would make it really hard for our residents, because when there's gravel roads on the, brings all that dust and everything like that. And then when the wind blows, it just becomes a complete mess.
Wind blows in Holden?
Greg,
there would be more complaints, and the maintenance on it would be a lot harder. And right now, with doing what we're trying to do right now, it would be a lot easier to maintain and take care of.
Do you get a better rate? You get a better rate as well with them being hard roads.
Yes.
Another thing that, as you can appreciate, if you can drive a block and get on an oiled road instead of driving down the dirt road, you're going to do that. So if we eliminate some of those, the other oiled roads are going to take more traffic. It's going to deteriorate that traffic. So.
In San Juan County, we're experimenting with lithified technology, where we grind up our gravel roads and add a combination of cement and other things with it that hardens it to a cement surface. If it holds up in the wintertime, the two pilot projects that we've done, it costs about $1 million a mile to pave a road. We did this lithified technology for about $240,000 a mile. Wow. So we're in contact with UDOT and with others to, they've come down and looked at the process. And so anyway, that's just information, doesn't mean anything.
Mr. Zanotti?
I just had a comment by way of the UDOT that best maintained roads are always a well maintained road. Todd, you've been there and you've done that.
Yes.
I'm just afraid that by waiting too long, you're going to lose some of the base roads that could be repaired quickly and could prolong the life of the road, like 15 years, been waiting too long. So whatever you're going to do, decision to take it back to council, or you're just going to wait to make decision how you're going to approach, do it as soon as possible, because it's going to cost more.
Exactly. That's why, you know, with his help, we want to try to do everything we can to get this project moved along and taken care of as quickly as possible. Because, yeah, that cost down the road, we don't know. You guys don't know. They don't know. And hopefully, maybe the cost will come down.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's a crystal ball we don't have, yeah.
We don't got the future, in our hands where we can look and say, yeah, it's going to come up or it's going to go down. But the sooner the better would make it a lot more feasible for us and for you as a council.
That was just a comment. Thank you.
Okay, so the substitute motion on the table is to put it on the pending list. We'd probably consider around December, January time frame again. We have a better picture of where our funds are, for a large grant request like this. That is the substitute motion on the table. Any further discussion to that substitute motion? Seeing none, all in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that passes unanimously. So that'll be put on the pending list, and we'll kind of drum this project back up in December, January. Candace will be in touch with you, and we'll have a better sense of what we can do at that time. And
so when that happens, would we be able to still have the funds so that they can start the project in spring and not wait another 6 or 7 months down the road?
Yeah, we have a funding meeting in February. That would be we can always suspend the fund. So if we get to a point where we feel like we need to do that right away, we could do that. But if you're in that cycle, February would be the normal cycle when we would fund all those projects.
Okay,
so that passes. We'll see you in a few months.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you'll call me, I guess, and let me know when you got me on.
Okay, I think we've got lunch set up over here for the board, and we'll take a 20-minute break to grab lunch and begin eating, and then hopefully we'll get to a point where we can start working through that project.
He just takes care of not even the maintenance of the inside of the building. We need to kind of look at that too, yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Keith.
Question, is Mayor Kornberg still with us?
He's here.
Good.
Right here. No, he's still in town. Yes.
Good. Wonderful man.
He is just my right hand.
How much money would we save if we didn't do the addition, the overflow?
It was on the bid there. I should have had that in front of me. So there's actually three different parts that we could do. We could do just the front. We could do the front with the museum part because that north side is really not helping. And then third part would be the overflow in the park. So did you have that?
Yeah.
I have that here. Oh, well, that's not it. That's it. But this is kind of a real preliminary bidding here that I have. It's from Rasmussen. And if we did just in front of the community center, it would be $32,000. If we did the museum center with the museum, $51,750. And if we then did the overflow, we'd have to add on another almost $24,000. So that was in the very, very beginning when we started all this, and so it's kind of grown as we go.
So if this board were to grant $50,000, you could do everything but that overflow, or am I not understanding correctly?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then we don't really have the overflow would help the parking for the park as well, because it's right there. We have the church parking lot about a block away or so. You have to hike in. But
you should have parking for the community center.
Councilman Farrell.
Recognizing Scipio as being one of these little towns that don't have a lot of revenue, I'll make the motion. We go ahead and approve it as presented.
I'll second.
Second that.
Okay, the motion on the table made by Councilman Farrell, $70,000 grant, and seconded by Commissioner Lytle. Further discussion of that motion?
I have just one more question from Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
At the April 19th meeting, the public hearing, Penny asked you how much money you're going to ask for. Was the limit on the money available? You answered, we're going to ask for 50%. What do you mean by 50%? Do you remember that far back, 419?
No,
that's the minutes of the meeting of the April 19, 2018.
Yeah.
Penny asked, is there any limit on the money available? And Pam, you say, yes, we asked for 50%. I'm just curious to know, what is the 50%? What, 50% of what?
There was another subject come up right there, and I'm just trying to remember what it was. It wasn't about the parking lot. I apologize. That shouldn't have been coming up at that point. But I can't remember what the 50.
I tried to calculate, but 50%.
Yeah, no, it was. It didn't really have anything to do with the project.
Okay.
That question kind of came up with something different, and I'm sorry.
That's okay.
See no other questions. All in favor of approving a $70,000 grant for the town of Scipio, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. It'll be on the priority list for the October funding meeting.
Okay, so can I just ask real quick, can we start this project then, or we just wait until after we go through October, correct?
Right, correct.
Okay.
October is when it gets finalized.
We're looking at spring then.
Yes.
For the project. Okay. Just so I can tell them.
Whatever your construction schedule is, but most asphalting gets done in the non-winter time. So,
but their bid could be refined too.
That's what I was asking.
Commissioner Ogden?
I just wanted to make one comment here. I do appreciate Scipio. It is a small town, and they have put some cash in this, and they have also worked with UDOT on that, and I've got to commend them for going and doing that. Some of these communities, you know, this is commendable that you've brought some money to the plate and you've got skin in the game.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to our next agenda item, Mona City, $7,500 grant request for general plan. Is that the description, Candace? Anything you want to add to that, they can come up at this time.
Number 10 in Mona City is general plan. This is general plan to do spatial analysis of current conditions, evaluation of physical facilities, parks, roads, etc., and economic and demographic analysis. I don't know what the size is between Mona City and Roosevelt City, but $7,500 in grant, and they have the applicant cash. It looks like they're doing maybe a little less, but not much, to their project. Their current plan has not been updated since 1984. So they're not coming very often. And I will turn that.
You want to introduce yourselves?
Bill Mills, Mayor.
Jeff Hardy, I'm on the council.
Great.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here today.
Anything you want to add to that description? There's probably not much to add, but if there is, I want to give you an opportunity to do that.
Very little to add. We thought it was 1982. 1982 was a good year. I was born. Mona City put out its general plan, and Michael Jackson's Thriller album was selling like hotcakes. And, you know, at this time, two of those are still relevant. Thriller is still a good album, and I am happy to be here. So.
Great. Thank you. Any questions from the board?
I'd just make a motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
All right. A motion by Commissioner Winterton and a second from Commissioner Lytle to approve a $7,500 grant.
Just one question.
Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
I know. I'm going to try to make it quick. So you work with the BYU professor as a consultant and the students.
Correct.
How reliable do you think the result is going to be?
That was one of the initial questions of one of our council members. And so I thoroughly vetted the Urban Planning International, the program. I did a side-by-side comparison of one of the recent general plans that was done for Eureka City recently versus one that had been done by a professional consultant. And as I had finished up my pros and cons list, it was very lengthy on the side of Eureka's that Urban Planning had done. And my favorite part of the one that was done by the professional organization was that it was succinct and concise. I did reference checks with numerous other cities who had used their services, and the references all came back just outstanding. We loved them. They were great. We would use them again. We could not have been happier. So with Dr. Clay's accreditations and accolades, plus the reference checks with other entities, we feel very confident moving forward that we're going to get a quality product.
Thank you. I'm done.
Keith?
If I may, Mr. Chairman, Board. Also, the RPP, I believe Travis Keel in this case, is working very closely with them, as is the Community Development Office, to make sure that everything is up to snuff, so to speak. So, yeah, we're very comfortable with this group, and we'll be working hand-in-hand with them to make sure that the community gets a quality product and that the community's engaged in the process, which is a great thing about the students, is they really do bring the community in. So
Thank you.
We recommend this.
Mr. Glucky, can we use Mona as a training tool or method for going through? It's a great job, you know, getting other people involved and a way to save money, and it's real good. I wish there's more like this, more training or more planning options like this.
Thank you.
Seeing no other questions, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The post passes unanimously, be on the priority list for the October funding. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Next item, Town of Dutch John. Invite them to the table and turn the time over to Candace.
Number 11 on today's agenda, Town of Dutch John. This is for sewer improvements on Highway 191. Their request is $488,000 in grant funding. There is no other funding. This project will consist of sewer improvements along with 5 manholes, 1,300 feet of gravity sewer line along the intersection of U.S. 191 and Little Hole Road. This project is in conjunction with a UDOT project. The applicant is requesting suspend and fund. UDOT is willing to work with the Town of Dutch John if it will not delay or substantially impact the UDOT project. UDOT has not granted a utility easement for the line, but once it has been decided it will be installed, then Dutch John will work with UDOT to obtain the easement. My question for the board to ask is, do they have the easements necessary for this? The asphalt will be 551 tons at a cost of $61,000. UTBC, which is coarse grade road base. Untreated, yeah. 272 cubic yards, 15,000, and granular barro, 544 cubic yards at 46 a yard, is 25,000. So that, I guess, adds up to 488,000 grant funding. But that is their request today. They are also, I think, requesting, like I said, suspend and fund because UDOT is wanting to simultaneously do this project. Now, I'll turn the time over to...
Well, I'll let our applicants introduce themselves and add any information you want.
Brett Reynolds with CIFCO Engineering.
Bud Rogers, the mayor, Dutch John.
I'm Larry Montoya, UDOT project manager, and I'm responsible for projects in the Uinta Basin.
Anything you want to add to this particular project?
Well, we have known that this line eventually will need to go in. We don't call it, you know, a planning thing, but last year through, I believe it was Ron and Jack, had an opportunity to abscond with some...
Easy.
with some leftover revenue from another road project, I believe, over in Ron's neck of the woods, and we know that we have a safety issue in this UDOT project, adding that third lane. in our busy intersections with all the recreators in town. So we've seen the opportunity to try to get this line in while UDOT has the road all torn up. And there are actually, I don't know, opportunities here that hopefully will save us more than it looks. Thanks.
As you know, Dutch John is a very new community, and so they are just starting to get their feet wet and trying to get things done. And as Bud said, as they started the town, they always envisioned a sewer line through here. They have not done their official planning and all that, so that's why it's not showing up in a planning document. But it was always thought there. When we were working with the UDOT project and that, and there were discussions with the town of Dutch John, it seemed like a good opportunity to team with UDOT and make this happen. We've looked at several different options, and based upon how we move forward, the cost would go down because some of that could be absorbed by UDOT, and we kind of reserved it there in case the timing was such that we had to pick up some of those costs ourselves. But the thought was is hopefully the cost would come down and we could not use all the grant is what we're all hoping for. And appreciated Larry's time to come here today and answer any of the UDOT questions you have, because it is critical that we do that. They just had their pre-construction meeting on that project. And I'll let Larry explain a little bit more about that part of it.
Our UDOT project will improve both intersections there in Dutch John and widen the road between them, adding an additional lane heading towards Wyoming. And that auxiliary lane is where I believe the sewer line is proposed to be installed. Our project is scheduled to begin excavation the first week in August, and with our plan to get everything paved and wrapped up before the winter season sets in.
Okay. I think we'll have lots of questions. Can I just ask one? How much money are you saving by doing this project in conjunction with UDOT as opposed to standalone?
When we originally estimated it, we'd estimated about $250,000. And so, you know, it's somewhere around those neighborhoods. It's saving us a good $200,000 plus. And then the impact of the traffic, UDOT's willingness to let us tear up the road into future is probably not going to be there, where they're willing to let us go in there now. So that could add another cost that we really haven't addressed. So it's a fairly substantial cost.
They don't want their new road all torn up in a year? Okay, I guess that makes sense.
And honestly, even if we did it five or six years from now,
right,
for them to allow us to close a lane and all that is going to be a lot harder than to allow us to work in the area where there's not a lane.
Commissioner Adams.
I'm just going to say it bothers me a lot when I see road projects go in and then the city comes in a year later and they have a failure in their water line or their sewer line and they dig up a brand new paved street and it probably didn't bother UDOT, but it bothered me when that kind of stuff happens. So I appreciate the fact that they're trying to look forward a little bit and not disturb a brand-new asphalt road. So I don't know.
Councilman Farrell.
Is this project essential to the operation of the sewer system now, or is this for future growth?
It will be used in the future.
So the property owners along this line would be the one that's going to benefit from this?
Eventually.
Who is that property owner? Who's the property owner up there?
Right now,
the county?
County.
Yeah. County.
And if I read the application right, it's designed more like for commercial area?
We plan on keeping that zone all commercial up through there, so.
It's directly adjacent to it, but there's how much area in the map would help show what area it would feed without that line is unserviced without going into the plan.
Yes, we got the blown up map. Okay.
this area up in here, and then also this area over here would be.
Oh, I'll take a couple of those gets done.
And that's owned by the county.
I can do
it. So is the county going to change the zone and sell that property?
It's actually zoned by the city. It's within the city limits.
It's in the city owned by the county. So is the county
owned the land? We control the zoning, and if the zoning will stay the same or is staying the same, we adopted their zoning.
So is the county going to make lease that property to commercial development or sell it? Or what would be the benefit if it's owned by the county, if no, there's no development on it?
Well, we plan on, we should be working together to develop that commercial. The commercial development is going to bring the most benefit to both the town and the county, tax-wise, revenue-wise.
So there were a lot of county questions lobbed there. I don't know if...
I can answer some.
Okay, Commissioner, thank you.
I guess from a disclosure standpoint, but as a commissioner, and then also it's in the redevelopment agency that's there that actually has the ownership of most of that property and sitting on that board as a commissioner. The zoning prior to the town taking it over was commercial along the Little Hole Road, which is the road spurring from there up. And I believe from what you said, the town is consistent with that zoning. It would make it so that land is actually saleable much quicker by connecting that. It also feeds, it would also have the opportunity right now where that is unserviced, the land to the north and west. East, up in that. And I'm not sure what the town zoning right now is. It was 5 or 7 or 10 acre potentially in the grand plan, but not
right
in the current zoning.
Right now we both have an MU4.
Right.
Outside of the commercial.
Right. So the idea right now is with that construction, because we were approached to do it as well, from our perspective, it made sense for that smaller investment to get that in now and have the opportunity to make more of that ground usable or saleable. If that answered the question, I don't know if that met your questions or not.
Mr. Zanotti.
So how many households is going to be serviced by this new line of the sewer?
Immediately when it's completed? None. In the future, hundreds, several dozens. It will be more commercial service, I think.
Initially.
Okay. So who will be owning this line? County, city, or who is going to be ownership?
Say we would own that part of the line, right?
With the intention that the water and sewer system would be handed, there would be a transfer of that system to the incorporated town, is what we're still in the negotiations of. I don't think it's an if, it's a when.
So if the properties are designated commercial around the Little Hole Road, then there's a possibility of that if you take some loan today to pay back the loan by the proceeds of those developments?
So in our minutes that hopefully you guys had copies of, as Brett had stated, we thought this was going to be about a $250,000 ask for a grant. It turned into $488,000, mostly because the contingency is if we delay Larry's project, if we delay UDOT, this part of the sewer line project would come back in and have to pave that third lane, which basically doubled the amount of the cost of the project. So we are still wanting to stand on that in our public meeting, and I think now there's some different information really coming through UDOT. We don't want to do a loan, and our thought was if UDOT could put the paving cost as our skin in the game, our part of the 25% or whatever, then it would be a wash for us. We would ask. Yeah. So how we do that.
So if they do that, then you're going to reduce the amount of grant you're asking for?
We could. What we would ask is that we can keep that, but then not use it all and do our best to
get a lot of it back. You heard the reaction. No.
Would
yeah, Candace didn't know that. That was an audible reaction.
No.
Was that a...
Yeah, sorry for my audible reaction.
I'm not exactly sure what UDOT's costs are going to be at this time. We've got two ways of going forward right now with the UDOT project. And one is we could bid this as a separate project, or we could include it in the UDOT project. There is going to be some additional costs with that. We haven't totally evaluated exactly what those costs are going to be.
You're asking for all grants. The MAGI is 1.17. Nobody's going to be hooked to this right now, so it will benefit Dutch John in future growth because of economic possibilities. But how CIB reimburses is by way of invoice. You would not be able to spend this until you had an invoice that you pay. But CIB right now, as they have discussed a lot, does not have money to sit in a different account while you're seeing if you need it.
You're right, Candace. We understand that, so we would be paying for it and then asking for reimbursement. Yes,
but we set aside the whole amount. When the board awards any kind of funding, that funding is taken out of the account available to any other applicant and held in that account for a specific project. So the board needs to be mindful of that, that once you're asking for a greater amount than really maybe what is needed for the project, that limits what you can do for other applicants.
Yes, there's two issues at play. One, we don't have a lot of grant money available, so any issuance of grant above and beyond what is needed is always a concern, just because we have to take care of other projects as well. The other question I think that's you'll see in your analysis from water quality is that the affordability of the sewer rates, you could be charging, you know, almost $10 or more a month and still be in the affordability range, and that can accommodate, you know, $172,000 loan with, you know, I know it's a tough sell because nobody's getting any extra service out of this, you know, that is currently paying sewer rates. I mean, that's the tough sell. But, you know, that gets back to, you know, this is really a growth opportunity, and, you know, you want growth to pay for itself, and, you know, that's where maybe some impact fees or other types of things could be put aside for the future to accommodate that. But that, I think those are the couple things that need to be considered at this time.
This came up in the public hearing, and one of the things with the MAGI is that I don't think Dutch John itself has a MAGI. So I think they used a bigger area for the MAGI.
I'll let Skyler come up and address this since he's right behind you, and he did the analysis. So
he can help us.
So the MAGI on this one is based on the zip code.
Okay.
And there isn't a specific one for the town.
And there are some areas within the zip code that have a tendency to skew the MAGI for the town of Dutch John.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you thinking of the acres and the pines? Are they the same?
Yeah. Yeah, there is a skew on the MAGI if you consider the zip code versus just the town of Manila.
Okay. Thank you.
And then at this here point, like I said, the trouble we have is I'll let Larry speak a little bit of it, but we're not exactly sure of the cost that's going to be borne by the UDOT project versus what we're going to have to come and what the extra costs are going to be.
Commissioner Ogden?
Along that same from DEQ on that water deal, is the ownership of the application, is that the ownership, I guess, of the system, is that owned by Dutch John right now, or where is that?
The ownership of?
Of the sewer project or this pipe that you're putting in. Who's going to own that?
The pipe that we're putting in, we would own. I mean, it's our project.
Okay, so that's all. Okay, that was one of the questions on this thing.
And who owns the rest of the system? Is it county owned?
The county owns.
The machinations that occurred as we were trying to decide, because this could have come before the board sooner or at different times, was should the county put in as the owner of the system, but with the anticipation of the transfer to the town, is and the fact that the road's being opened right now, or the construction process, if who in the long run is going to own the system, and who's going to be paying the bill, which is the water user or the sewer users, if there's a bill, and who owns the pipe. If the county has to own the pipe once everything's been transferred, because it was under our understanding that whoever got the grant would have to own the pipe for a number of years after completion of the project. And it's still, I'm an optimist, maybe worse than an optimist, but in terms that this will get transferred in closer to the short term than not, on the water and sewer plant to the town, and then they would have ownership of the whole thing in the long run, rather than have one piece out one way or the other. If it ultimately will be owned by some entity, I am hopeful that it's the town.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
Larry, are you ready to start this project, or how far along, or what kind of time you're going to need for that intersection?
Things would have to happen quickly in terms of getting their design to us so that we could get a request a change order from our contractor. So things would need to really fall in place, because otherwise we'd be looking at delays on the project, and those cost dollars. Right now, our schedule that we've been given by the contractor is he plans to start excavation work the first week in August. Okay. And he'll be working through September to get the thing finished at the end of September.
And the estimated cost on the UDOT portion will be how much? Do you know? Have they given any bill?
For the sewer installation?
For
the road itself.
Oh,
for the road itself.
The
thinking off the top of my head, it's about $1 million project, okay. I believe. And,
any kind of delay is going to cost money from the UDOT.
It is. The contractor, I should mention, the contractor is planning, because of the short season up there, he'll be back next spring to do a chip seal on the project. Okay. And one thing that we threw out as an option to the city and the mayor was that we would be willing to delay construction of that outside lane. Our main goal with the project was to get that center lane turned in for left turn safety.
Right.
So that auxiliary lane between the intersections, that's where the sewer line would be installed. There is a possibility, and we'd be open to working with the city on that. We hold off on that, come back next spring and do it before the chip seal. But they would be responsible for the extra cost on that.
Which leads to the $488 rather than a lower cost.
So if you were...
Quite honestly, our goal on every project we bring to you guys is to bring in it under budget. So that's my point, is whether it's this project or any other project we've always done on, we try and bring it in under budget. But we do have these other costs that if we were to take the gravels and the asphalt and those costs that were in there out, then we would have the extra cost of possibly some other UDOT costs that we would have to absorb.
Right. Commissioner Winterton.
So
I'm confused now. You're saying you're going to save us money if you did it in conjunction with UDOT right now. What amount are we talking about? Was it $25,000, or are we talking?
Well, the original.
Yeah, the original estimate was that the project was going to cost $250,000 to $300,000. That was just with the fact that UDOT is doing a lot of the. There's a big rock face that we've got to tear down, and UDOT's going to accomplish that for us if we were just going to go out there and do it ourselves.
Okay.
When things got shoveled around, we weren't exactly sure how it was going to go. Then we included some extra cost for doing some of the road widening ourselves.
You're saying that we could probably save $188,000 over your request if
well, I would say $188,000, but then I think there is going to be some other cost that UDOT's going to throw at us. So at this here point, I would feel good saying that we could easily cut our cost down like $150,000 and probably still be okay.
But that's doing it in the next 4 weeks.
That's if we do it now.
So that's not going to, I mean, that's.
Yeah, that's
well,
if we.
Well, the construction is going to go on through.
Yeah. It is a possibility.
Yeah. If we do, if we can suspend and fund now, if we can't suspend now, then it is going to go up to where it's going to be $500,000 to put this in. $500,000+, I think, if we put it in next time. Because then we'll be actually either having to X out more additional rock that UDOT, because if UDOT doesn't allow us to go underneath the road in the future, that means we got to excavate out a whole bunch more rock, which is going to drive the cost up. And then if they do let us go underneath there, then that's a matter of digging up the road and putting the road back. So if we don't do it as part of the UDOT project, then we are looking at a substantial, more like a $750,000 project.
So I'll do some thinking out loud here. So the 488, that's contingent. That's extra money built in.
I would say not extra.
Okay, but that's...
That's worst case scenario for the project that's on the table, it sounds like.
Right. So if you do the 50-50 split at 2.5% for 20 years, at that magi of 150, it's a loan at $244,000, and then, if potentially it went optimistically, you get the project done at $300,000, you're only been granted about $60,000. Am I adding that up correctly? So there's a great incentive there for them to do it now, but also if they're concerned, we get the money out in loan, we save it in grants. And it's affordable according to water quality.
The timing on the loan also becomes a persnickety.
Well, Brenda, how quickly is 2.5% loan?
It takes 90 days usually to. Is that about right, Candace? 90 days. That's if everybody agrees on what bond documents say.
Right.
That's probably like the minimum time frame.
And the UDOT, Larry, you can work on the side. You can do the central lane while waiting to loan to be approved.
That's correct.
So we have the time. If we go to loan, we can have a time, plenty of time. You can start your project. While we get the process to loan for 90 days, you can come back and do the auxiliary lane addition, and that will cover the sewer line. Well, Larry's a good project manager. He can manage it. There will be no cost.
That's according to the Transportation Commission chair right there. So
we take that to the bank.
Yes, sir.
I still go back to my first question, Mayor, that you have potential of developing that road after the sewer line is in, after the intersections are in. You're going to have major developments coming for the commercial zone. You can really make some good money and pay up some loans.
And I agree with my colleagues that if we can go loan or maybe half and half, you don't want to go to full length of the loan, half and half, 15 years, 2.5%, you're really in the position to pay it and be a hero for the community.
What if we were able to, would the town be able to defer that loan payment? Is that a yes
or
no? Is
the 20 years set or can we go 30? Can they do it before?
If you defer a loan and you have pledged BNC road funds, which you wouldn't because this is a sewer line,
that's
but
correct.
You have to pay the loan off from the time of closing within 10 years.
That's correct.
If you pledge mineral leases of revenue, then you have, and you, it's, that's a maximum of 15 years, you ask for a deferral, you have to pay that loan off from time of closing within 15 years. So it makes a payment very much bigger for a deferral. If you use a 20-year loan and a different revenue source, water revenue source, you can defer the loan and you can extend the loan to 24 years or whatever, so you keep the payment the same. So it depends on the revenue stream, but you can ask for a deferral. Probably a maximum deferral of first payment would be 4 years to accommodate what you want to do. But you don't want the loan to go longer than the life of whatever you're putting in.
That's right.
One thing I think we're overlooking is that the city doesn't own this land right now that we're talking about developing. So
it's hard to close a bond if you don't
really
have the easements.
It's really hard if you're going to force another entity to transfer something of ownership to the city.
Can the city charge an impact fee?
They could own development and that, they could. And so that's a way that they could recover
right.
some of this. But right now the city doesn't own the property that we're talking about.
Right.
And so it's hard for them to make a commitment
sure.
unless that forces the county to turn it over to them. And so I don't know where they are in that process.
Right.
But there's great potential here. It's just that this was federal land for a long, long time and turned over to the county when they left.
We would own the sewer line in an easement. As I understand it, it'd be an easement with the sewer line. That would be the ownership.
But that's just the chunk of that they are constructing.
Right.
The transfer of the sewer treatment plant or whatever that the county has right now, they would have to send that over too. So,
right.
again, I mean, we're kind of forcing the county to step up and either transfer it to them or take this project on themselves.
What's the problem?
Is that right?
Let me ask this question. So you don't own any of the sewer system at all in Dutch John at all?
No.
So we can't even have a conversation about raising sewer rates because you're not even in control of this.
So I say there's a couple pieces here,
right.
but I think it's a needed project that needs to happen, but things will happen down the road. It's just that if Larry builds these roads, then we might be 4 or 5 years, but I know it's on page 5 that once you put it in a road, you have to dig it up after you know, 6 months, something like that. So you just haven't got that far in the book, Jack.
Mr. Ogden?
I guess my question comes back. If they don't really have the ownership of the road they or this project, how can we loan on something and how?
That is the question. That's a good question. There's not a revenue source because they don't have sewer rates because they don't own the sewer system and they have no users. There would be no users on this line, at least for a period of time.
This is a project of opportunity. Because
yeah,
I think that they're getting there, but the transfer hasn't happened. So we're forcing something that eventually will happen.
Well, and that's not going to happen in time but to close the loan, though, right?
No, not the loan. That's what I say.
It seems like a strategic move on part of the county to make this so confusing that we have to figure it out.
You're giving me a great, this commissioner at least, a heck of a lot more credit than you would to try and make it this confusing.
This wasn't strategic. Okay.
We can solve their problems.
But it does motivate both sides to come up with to get toward the end. If
Commissioner Lytle, you have the pen, you have the phone. Can you use the executive order?
I'm not sure I heard the question.
I said, you have the pen, you have the phone. order whatever the cell phone, can use the executive order like somebody else did? Sign the paperwork, transfer the land so we can give them the money?
I would be glad to have more conversations outside of this forum to help you understand further the difficulties that have
started. He makes it sound so easy.
Yeah.
Either way, we could also change the proponent, but it would... Well, you do know who owns it.
Who owns
which part?
They don't own the pipes and they're all built in their own town, right?
At this stage of the game, the county is the operator and owner of the sewer and water system.
Okay, and they're trying to turn that over to you guys, right?
No, we're trying to turn it over to them.
He's trying to get rid of it to the city.
The city would like to operate their own water and sewer system.
The only way it works is if the applicant becomes the county.
That would be the other way, and I would have to get on the phone quickly to see if that would be an opportunity. We've had great discussion over it. And felt like in the short term, knowing the long term effort is for the town to actually have the water and sewer system, we found ourselves in a conundrum, as this board is, illustrated, that there's an opportunity right now with the road being open. We believe both parties believe there's a need for that pipe to be in that will allow future growth. But whether the county should have been the applicant in the long run or not is a question of whether or not then it would be the county owning the pipe and Dutch John owning the system. So in anticipation of the town owning the system, we would move forward. This way they would have the whole system quicker rather than whatever time the town would have it right now, it ultimately would be part of the system. If it needed to come back to the county because we didn't make a transfer, then we would do it. But it screws up whether we can do a loan or not. And so that's why it was brought as a grant.
So I can't even remember when this was, a year ago, I guess, when the funding of your project came and we thought, well, geez, let's go ask. And we knew that this very conversation was going to happen with you guys. And I pulled the application and was convinced that at least let's come talk about it. So we put it back in to see where we were at, I guess.
You've livened up the conversation for sure.
Yeah. Air out the day, so.
Councilman Farrell, we've brought you very many simple projects.
No, they never are.
I see the benefit of the project, and it's kind of a unique characteristic. But are we setting a precedent? I mean, we're actually land speculators on this deal. Because you're going to sell the property at some point, and it's going to bring economic growth, but make it a grant.
And that's the part of the CIB that we don't do the economic development.
And we've been pretty careful not to suggest that this is an economic development project as much as it is servicing a large area.
It is.
But the challenge is that city doesn't have the ownership, and they're here as an applicant, and we're just trying to figure out what's the best way to approach.
And the only one we're going to serve is the county property, which got economic development potential.
Yep.
And the county is very inclined to promote that growth.
Candace.
No. I'm going to refer to grants. Just a little snippet about knowledge of grants. CIB, once they award a grant, it has to be to an eligible applicant for an eligible project. This is an eligible applicant, is an eligible project. You cannot do anything with the ownership of that because it was a grant for 10 years. It has to stay as is. However, if they come back to the board so the county could apply, then they could ask for approval by the board to change the ownership of that project or that thing. So the county could apply. The county does own the system. The county could increase sewer rates. The county could take a loan.
Okay, we've had a ton of discussion on this. I'm hoping we're getting close to some action period on here. Commissioner Winterson.
Let me make a motion here because of the complication, but I think it is an opportunity. They do have ability in the future to pay a loan back. If we would go with a 50-50 loan, and I'm going off the number of he's saying three, we cut it down $150,000, so $338,000, half grant, half loan. So that's $169,000 grant and $169,000 loan. I make it for 10 years.
10-year loan, interest rate?
2.5%.
2.5%. So you said $169,000? That's a motion on the table for $169,000 loan, 2.5%, 10 years, and $169,000 grant. Hold on. There's a second on the table from Mr. Zanotti. Does that include a suspended fund?
Suspended fund. Can we go 15 years to make it easy on the table?
Candace, can we go 15 on what?
What is the revenue source?
That's the thing.
Well,
we're anticipating.
If I take this loan, what's the payment annually? At the
That's a very good concern. Revenue source, BNC road funds, if you're pledging that, which you wouldn't be because it's a sewer line, is 10 years. So you can go longer than 10 years. 15 years is if you pledge mineral lease funds, if you get any mineral lease funds, maximum of 15 years. You can pledge sewer revenues, but then you'd have to have ownership of the sewer, which therefore it could be the county that was the applicant and could raise their sewer rates and accommodate it with sewer revenue. And it could be 20 years at a lower payment. So I know this needs to be suspended and funded. We have talked about it a lot, and it needs to go forward. I had another question. Is it economic development, which this board does not fund?
Yep, that's what it is.
So those are depending on the revenue source, that's the length of the loan.
Well, of all of the counties in the state, Daggett County and Paiute County is probably the most strapped as far as any kind of revenue source whatsoever. And their impacts are every weekend throughout the whole summer. There's not a chance for them to do anything different. This property here, if you're looking at economics, what is the future there as far as supporting that infrastructure or that economy they have here? It's a chance for us to help them out. So, they can't sell it the way it is. So I think we can help Daggett County and Dutch John help themselves by funding this.
Flint, do you have a payment number? Can you run that real quick? This is $169,000, 10-year, 2.5%. We don't identified quite yet. Yes, that's correct.
While he's doing that, a little bit discussion on that.
Sure.
So, Ron, so a thought is, I know we brought it down, to what he's hoping is going to do. However, if we keep it up at a higher, a higher rate, let's say the $488,000, that will make it that they'll have more in loan and less in grant if they make it their targets.
But we're trying to figure out how they're going to make the payment, right?
Okay, that's
right.
Going
the other way.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if we sign an MOU, I don't know what we would do to have the county raise the sewer rates. We're only talking $105 billion people. And, I mean, the town committed not to do that to these guys, so. I mean, it's not fair to them just yet to raise, depending on it. It's going to have to be.
Commissioner Lytle? How long does it take in the process? You say you've been talking to the city, right? You guys been in communications regarding this particular project. So how long is it going to take before the commission says, okay, the county, we're signing off the ownership of this particular property to the city of Dutch John? We talk about that 60 days, 30 days?
I would think No, I heard the question to me. Thank you. In the negotiations we're in right now, it would be at least 60 days. It could be that quick, but I don't want to speak for the town in the terms of it hasn't been finalized. There's a bond right now that will require transfer for the water tank system. Or if we just turned over the sewer system, I guess it would be a different conversation and have different billing for water and sewer. That hasn't been discussed of those being separated.
Which opens up another can of worms, sort of, who's operating it.
Well, if it went to the town, they would have to operate it in some form.
Flint, you have that figure? Yes.
Our annual payment would be $19,000.
Okay.
Divided by 12, divided by 109. You would up the rates if you would do that.
So
just so we have an idea what that is.
Well, then we're getting to the tricky spot of how to get that pledge since it's not.
No,
we're
working through about 10 things.
Yes, I know.
Yep.
Sure.
It's $15, 15.07
a month increase.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That Larry can wait when he can do his job, do the center lanes and all the other stuff. Wait until the decision of the board, what it's going to take to finish the auxiliary lane and then finish the intersection. So that way we have time if we can come up with the idea that who's going to be the owner of the sewer line, operator, that way.
I could, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Treasurer Dampson.
If I'm understanding the discussion that we've had, this transaction is completely unworkable, right?
Bingo.
It's come as a grant because of this ownership disconnect, and we can't do it as a grant because of we anticipate a change in ownership, and we can't do a loan because we don't have a legitimate revenue source with which to repay the loan. Are these all accurate?
These are all facts that
no,
are on
accurate.
The table.
The only thing that would be the change of ownership would be the existing system. This new line would be theirs. It wouldn't be a transfer.
But there's nothing going through it, so there's no revenue.
Well, and that brings up the biggest issue is if we agree that it's economic development nature and we're dealing with legal prohibitions on the mere execution of such a transaction from this board.
Is Allison ready to turn on her light? I saw her shuffling her light, her microphone there.
So the primary purpose or the only purpose of a project cannot be economic development. Economic development can be an incidental benefit of a project. In fact, many of the things that this board does, economic development is incidental to it, but it can't be the primary or sole purpose of a project.
So what would you say is the primary? What's your opinion of a sewer line that's not servicing any clients right now?
Right.
It's there for future growth. Now, and again, I think we're hearing it's like commercial growth is kind of what's coming. I mean, what's the
a lot of
what's your opinion there?
A lot of public infrastructure work that's done accommodates future growth. That's the hard part.
Yes,
but this only accommodates future growth. I guess that's what makes it kind of unique.
Right.
Do you have an opinion on that?
It does seem unique. Also, the ownership question is
they don't have it.
Problematic as well.
Don't let it be said that Daggett County doesn't provide you things to work with.
No, and really it's trying to take the opportunity to interfere with UDOT's project more than anything. You can't deny that it's going to serve future growth.
But if we do the transfer in 60 days, it's a doable project. You have the legal entity to borrow the money.
The bond takes that long, right?
Well, there'll be bonds with this as well, so yeah. It'll be.
Right.
So, and the only thing we're worried about with kind of pushing the project out to the spring is a change order with the contractor. Right now, it's in the scope of work to construct that on the August-September timeframe with UDOT. Is that correct?
It's not on the contract to install the sewer line.
Right, right.
But to accommodate.
But to wait to do that part of it, to do the center lane, and then to the spring, to push it off to the spring to do the auxiliary lane that you're talking about, which is where the sewer line would go.
If we push
that's
that
a change
out
order.
Until the spring, yes, that would be a change order.
Yeah. And that's the uncertain cost that.
Then the cost of those
time. It's been tried to be anticipated with the 488 request.
That's correct.
Yeah, I mean, I also feel like the only two options on the table, which are not ideal options, one is to give the grant as requested, because, you know, that solves the ownership issue, it solves the repayment issue, which are both issues out there for now. It would save an unknown cost in the future for delays, or we pin the project while we work through these structures and we figure out what a change order looks like to do it in the spring with whatever the ownership structure needs to be under revised, you know, revenue structure. I mean, to me, those are the only two viable options on the table. So I know we have a motion on the table. I just don't think it's viable. It's kind of where I'm at, but.
No, I'm just going to say that as a new chairman of the UDOT, my motto is going to be, you got the money, honey, we got the time. So if you want to make it delayed project, Larry can work, and I will talk to the UDOT staff, and we can work it out. If the transfer can take place as soon as possible, not to delay too much of the project, causing too much expense. That will be the least controversial. Otherwise, Mr. Chairman, if you want to go with the whole grant, that's another option like you suggested.
I'm not saying I want to go with that. Yeah. I just, there's no easy path to move forward right as it's structured right now. I mean, the loan is not going to close. We don't have a revenue source. We have a lot of uncertainty on the ownership structure. Those things all exist.
Okay,
so.
I'm going to be brave enough to say let's make a motion to accept as presented. So the UDOT can forward and Dutch Young can save the money that they desire to save. Grant.
Okay, so that's a substitute motion to grant the $488,000. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
A second from
yes.
Mayor Baker and suspended fund.
Comment. Yep.
Yes. Discussion.
Okay.
Commissioner.
Or $488,000. Now we don't need that much if we do it right now.
Yeah. Whatever
grant,
we need.
So we could reduce that down to make more. You know.
Yeah. Whatever they didn't actually spend would never be
okay.
given
right.
to them. That's how
we'll
it would
set
work.
That aside.
Yeah. That is.
But it would be set aside in that full amount. But you know they underspend it. That's exactly what we want them to do and. They would never get reimbursed the 488.
Would be our goal to understand the deal under the budget.
Like you promised.
So by October, we'll have $150,000 coming back.
Yeah, sounds like the project will be done by end of September. Well, so there'll be some modifications.
Be unspent, $150,000, or unrequested.
Okay, any further discussion of that substitute motion? Okay, all in favor of approving a $488,000 grant, raise your hands. Okay, we have Commissioner Winterton, Chairman Zanotti, Mayor Baker, Commissioner Lytle, Commissioner Adams, 5. Those opposed to that motion? 4 opposed. Mr. Galecki, Mr. Farrell, Treasurer Damshin, Commissioner Ogden. That motion passes. So it is to spend and fund $488,000 grant to Town of Deschamps. I'm glad we didn't have another person here to vote, and I didn't want to get put into that vote. So, okay. Congratulations. Thank you. Okay, yeah. Is that where we're having our next retreat? Whatever development goes in there, or I don't know.
We'll pitch a tent.
We'll bring your fifth wheels, and we'll set up camp.
As a secondary benefit of this, I hope that we could accommodate that.
Okay, good. let's go to our next item. Kane County Human Resource Special Service District. Invite them up to the table at this time. We have a quick briefing from Candace. Turn the time over to her. Well, we do want to get out by 2:00.
Yeah.
This one's a little more straightforward, I think, at least structure-wise.
I'm sure I'm joining with the board in thanking Kane County for their patience and listening to all that. Kane County Human Resource Special Service District is the applicant. This is for a Kane County hospital addition and remodel at Kanab. This is a very large undertaking. They are optimistic about it. They have $5 million of applicant cash in this project, and they have come to the board to request $10 million, 30-year, 2.5% all loan. This will be for an addition, remodeling 10,000 square feet of the existing building and 7,360 square feet of an addition. There are many things that will be accommodated by this. The new equipment, which the board does not, it is not a capital cost, will be accommodated by the applicant's cash. The total construction cost, the actual construction cost, is $10.2 million. Additional fees include the architect fees, geotechnical fees, and all the additional bottom line fees, and they were about $2.7 million. And an exterior finish upgrade is $500,000. Total project with those items is $13.495 million, with an additional $1.5 million for furniture, fixtures, and equipment. So the question the board should have, and probably is a moot point, is what is the revenue source for paying back the loan, because they have requested. It was a great public hearing.
Great minutes,
yeah. The applicant is requesting 100% loan, as was indicated in the application. And with that, Chairman Hardy.
Welcome our applicants. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
Sherry Pendy, I'm the CEO administrator of the hospital.
Stephen Howells, I'm the CFO of the hospital.
Great. Anything you want to add to the project description?
No, Candace pretty much got it all.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Treasurer Dampson.
I move that we approve the application as submitted.
Who is that second? Commissioner
Adams?
I'd
like to say I got it.
Okay. There's a motion to approve as requested. It's a $10 million loan, 30 years, 2.5%. That motion was made by Treasurer Dampson, seconded by Commissioner Adams. Further discussion to that motion?
I just want to...
Commissioner Ogden, and then Mr. Zanotti.
The one question I had, I guess, is the payment coming back. You got, how are you paying that back?
We will. Go ahead, Stephen.
Well, I think the main place we get that cash is through the sales tax. We have a rural hospital sales tax.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Zanotti.
I just wanted to compliment Sherry for the beautiful research you have done about the CIB, what we are, what we do, sources of the money, how we can afford. And you research about the other place that you could borrow the money from Zion for State Bank. Thank you. If I was new to the commission, if I read your minutes or your presentation and the PowerPoint, I would have known what the CIB is about. And who is the record keeper or the minute keeper? She deserves.
Yeah, great. One of our day. Little secretaries.
Wonderful. What a detailed minute. Nothing missed. Thank you. I wish every one of the people, applicants, coming before CRD will have that kind of detail. Not just simply say that we asked for the money, they said yes.
Did you want to suspend and fund that?
Yes, please.
Yes, and I include that in my motion.
Okay, okay. I include it in my second.
I apologize for leaving that. I want to commend you for the great work, great application. You look great on your own, but you might want to send thank you cards to the prior applicants because they made you look extra good because you followed them on the agenda. You look so good. You're rock stars right now. Well, we all bow down.
Well, I think we need to offer them the same thing. Would you want to keep your cash and loan another $5
million? Well, we can't pay for some of the stuff they want to do, but... Okay, so the motion on the table, $10 million loan, 30 years, 2.5%, suspend and fund. No further questions. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Staff will be in touch on the contract.
And thank
there.
You from this county for providing such a grand example.
Thank you.
Okay, on to supplemental requests. Town of Manila, invite them up. Candace, turn the time over to you.
This is a supplemental request. It's the only supplemental request on today's agenda, and it's, in my opinion, legitimate. We awarded half grant, half loan to the town of Manila for pipelining back in 2018. It was earlier in our last trimester. We're in the first trimester of fiscal year 2019 now. So with last year, the board awarded it. It was to slip line much of their sewer system, and when they got in there doing their initial scoping of the piping there, it was evident that not all of it could be lined. So the renovation or the improvements need to be made in the sewer line, so what they're coming back for is for additional funding so that those areas that could not be lined now need new pipe. So this will add the additional pipe to the same scope of work. Their request is $790,000 in 30-year 2.5% loan, $790,000 in grant. No additional outside funding is coming in with this for a total of $1,580,000, and that's the same terms as the board awarded the original project to do the slip lining. Total CIB funding with the supplemental is $2,836,000 for these sewer improvements.
Welcome our applicants. You want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Karen Perry, the mayor of Manila.
And Jeff McCarty, Sunrise Engineering.
Okay. And anything else you want to add? Pretty straightforward description, but... We've seen the project at least once, and now this is a slight modification, as Candace explained, on the same terms, 50-50, as we approved the last time. Any questions from the board?
Motion to approve.
So there's a motion to approve from Mr. Zanotti, a second from Commissioner Ogden. I'll just say it was Commissioner Ogden. I heard it kind of over there.
Say it louder.
He shook his head yes in the affirmative, so that works. Any further discussion of that motion?
Is this, Mayor, is this suspend and fund? Or?
Yeah, all supplementals would be immediately funded.
I so move, yes.
So that's $790,000 30-year at 2.5% loan and a $790,000 grant. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes, it was worth the drive.
5 minutes of glory. We have an item for special consideration. This requires a vote of the board to consider this project, the town of Lewiston, for sewer lagoon slope stabilization.
So I'll make the motion to approve it.
Motion by second. Councilman Farrell and a second by Treasurer Damption to hear this project. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we'll bring them up to the table this time. Turn the time over to Candace for a description of this project.
The town of Lewiston is coming to this board for special consideration for sewer lagoon slope stabilization. This project consists of reconstructing a slope or the sewer lagoon, I believe it's the slope embankment, to protect the slope from slipping the sewer lagoon into the Cub River, which nobody wants. It occurred, it started to slip and get a fissure in it during a very rainy, wet February of 2017. Want y'all to ponder that. It was very wet and rainy.
Yes.
Okay. It's if the bank fails, the sewer lagoons will contaminate the river, resulting in the closing of the facilities until the repairs are complete. This application has other funding in it. It's got NRCS funding of $450,000. What this does is it, NRCS funding requires cash match. The applicant has $50,000 of that cash match, and they're coming to this board for the additional $100,000 as a 20-year, 2.5% loan. And with that, I will turn the time over.
Not sure there'll be much discussion, but I want you to have a chance to introduce yourselves.
I'm Kelly Field, the mayor of Lewiston City.
Thank you, Mayor.
Ted King, town council member.
Thank you.
Sam Ray with JV Engineers.
Great, thank you. Questions from the board?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, now I've got Commissioner Winterton on a motion to approve a $100,000 20-year loan at 2.5%, and a second from Commissioner Lytle.
I recognize a good project when I see it.
100% loan. Those are usually good projects. I like those.
That's debatable.
Any further discussion to that
There's
motion?
One question.
Yes,
Mr. Snyder.
Do you have
a federal grant already?
We've got the NRCS grant approved, but we're waiting for to identify all the funding. So this would be the final piece.
And the local cash, $50,000, is already set?
Yes, the $50,000 cash is already available.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Noddy, right. You're not going to ask them if they want to keep their
$50,000. No, too many. Motion second. I don't want to get in the fight.
I got a question. It's suspended funds, but it takes 90 days or something to get it.
And we understand that.
Okay. There's funding in place, and you guys have the funding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Did we make that a part of the motion? It's suspended fund. That was what was requested. So, the motion on the table is to suspend and fund a $100,000 loan, 20 years at 2.5%. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for waiting patiently during the meeting. Okay. My notes are correct. I think that concludes our business for the day. Is that I'm not missing anything?
One question.
One last.
Does that come out of the bonus funds?
Yes.
These loans are coming?
Yeah, all 2.5% loans are coming out of the bonus fund.
Okay, good.
We're making a dent in the bonus fund, and we did a pretty good job today. I want to commend everybody. I know we had a long discussion at our board retreat about this particular topic, and
everyone pat yourselves on the back.
Yes, I feel like the discussion today has been commensurate with our commitments at the retreat. So, thank you very much. Ready for one last motion?
I'd like to make that motion with the comment of thank you for your indulgence in the brain teas that we provided
yes,
you.
You're welcome. Is that a motion to adjourn?
It's a motion to adjourn.
All right. Thank you. We.